Hitomi Official, Hitomi Tanaka's official Twitter.
Oh, you love this girl.
Just wrote, my old dream is that I wanted to go to a member of the Jackass. Now, this is kind of like a riddle.
It's a little cryptic.
It is.
It's a little
cryptic. Well, it's more like a haiku.
I wanted to go to
a member of the Jackass.
A member of the Jackass.
Now, that could mean I wanted to meet someone from Jackass.
Or maybe it's an abstract and she wanted to be in Jackass alongside a member.
That's what I think. She wants to be a member of Jackass, and holy shit, would I retune in and watch Jackass again?
Well, of course.
Because, her in a bikini just, riding a really dangerous animal is hilarious.
Or maybe it could be in the biblical sense in which when you go into something, is how you beget children.
Right.
So,
like the process of it.
Like Jacob went into Sarah.
I'm not sure if that's what
she wants to go into
a member of the
Jackass.
Maybe she wanted to,
lay with
someone from Jackass, like Johnny Knoxville.
Or Steve-O.
Or Johnny Knoxville.
Or Steve-O. There's a
Liam. She also just posted a picture of her clear white Vita.
It's every girl in Japan does have a Vita, actually. This is very well known.
Is there any Purikura on it?
There's a photo of her with someone else as the background. So yeah, more or less.
Doing a little heart logo thing.
How about that?
That's amazing.
Hitomi Tanaka.
You know exactly how to say that. Hey, Hitomi, what are you doing? Sex? Having sex?
I had to crop that clip for the wrestling special we did.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, of course you would have,
Yeah.
You would have to.
Okay, so what are you going to tweet back at her right now?
Nothing.
Oh, that just like you, dude, you've come so far.
I remember on Reddit.
Make a move. You're more famous than Steve-O now.
You have the chance.
No, remember on Reddit where I missed it by
I do.
God.
Pat's sleepy, so he's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sleepy, died.
We were recording and he kept falling asleep during the game.
It happened.
It did.
Hey.
He said he was over his Red Bull limit. And he was two cans over, which makes me wonder what the limit is in the first place.
The limit is two cans.
And also, it's noon.
The limit is two cans.
It is noon on a Monday, and he is four cans in.
Now, I had 2 hours of sleep last night.
No excuse. So you shouldn't have slept for 2 hours.
No, it's rough, but I am here. I see that. Oh, that's a sad tweet. But I'm really sad Ryan Dunn is gone, says Hitomi Tanaka.
With a little crying emoji.
Oh. He would have appreciated the J-Cups.
He fucking would have.
So, yeah, we now live in a timeline where we're around for two Godzilla movies with Matt in our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like new ones coming out.
Yeah.
What a wonderful time to be alive.
How
are you feeling?
Yeah.
I'm in a state of anxiousness where at any moment I could spring and go no, I'm going to download a version of it.
Right.
From China.
Because they're available.
But, fortunately that was announced that there's going to be a Montreal showing, thank God.
Just the one. So
just
don't
one.
Miss it.
But I'm really, really, really looking forward to it because I've literally spoiled myself in everything in the movie. I read everything.
Yeah, you've mentioned this
before.
But
that made me go, oh, shit, I can't wait to see that.
Now I have to see this.
Like the full spoiler reviews.
Here's the deal with Godzilla. This is the final climactic scene.
Wow.
Type stuff. Jeez. And it just made me want to go, oh, fuck, I want to see that part. And I am ready for all the real Japanese political drama that will completely fly over my head.
This is a brand new, actual kaiju, though, right? It's not a...
Yes, it's not even... Almost every subsequent Godzilla film at least says, man, this Godzilla is real way worse than that one from the 50s.
Yeah, he was nothing. He was tiny.
Oh, he was a tiny baby.
How big was he?
Not that
feet
big.
Tall. You see that picture Levi posted where
put
54 Godzilla in modern day Tokyo, it's like a small man.
He's
going,
as tall as buildings.
I think it's 50 meters.
It's more like 50 meters,
yeah,
I think.
50 meters,
yeah,
165 feet.
But he's fucking nothing.
Yeah.
He's not that big.
He looks really cute. Like there's
We could probably take him.
Yeah. if you just gang around. Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got the top fin.
Yeah.
And the Godzilla.
Wouldn't be that hard.
The Godzilla and Shin Godzilla, I think they made sure that he needs to be
He's the biggest one.
7 meters taller than legendaries.
Yeah.
It's that mentality.
There's no reason not to keep going bigger, just, I guess, too.
Just
so.
Ever so slightly. One shack above
the other one. It's cool because when you look at legendaries, it looks like it's crouching a little bit more because it has a bit more of like a real animalistic look, whereas Godzilla's like more of a
this weird
silly dragon lizard.
The Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. But the legendary one has more of a slope and a visible center of balance and stuff. So
it reminds me of that thing that Lanny Patura told me when I went to WrestleMania, is that like, oh, here in Dallas, we have the biggest fucking TV, but Houston was like, fuck that.
No, you don't.
We're going to make one. And the scientists go, you can't.
Yeah.
They literally maxed it out that the world can't support anything bigger.
You'll put us off its orbit.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, the only question remains is, will Godzilla figure out his problems before the end of the movie and have everyone from the past come together and say congratulations? Mothra's flopping its little wings.
Hey, it's good that you made
spraying
that point.
Spraying poison gas everywhere.
Yeah. Congratulations, yeah. Gojira.
It's interesting that you made that point because Anno just went on, like, you know, an interview or two. He's like, I'm not doing another one of these ever. That's all he really said. And the general consensus is that he hated working on this thing because Toho is notorious in the last, I don't know, couple of decades where they make the filming experience for the director miserable because there's so many mandates. It has to be like this way, blah, blah, blah. They control a lot of it. And he's like, I'm never going to be doing it again. And please, don't worry, Evangelion fans. I'll get back to making worse and worse movies.
I'll continue digging this series deeper.
Hideaki Anno is Japan's Alan Moore.
He
kind of has the look, too.
You think? Yeah, that's the closest metric.
I think kind of.
He hates everyone and everything.
Did Alan Moore dig Watchmen into the ground, or?
Alan?
No. Dave Gibbons.
Am I confusing?
Alan Moore is the guy who wrote the comic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But did he continue digging his legacy series into the ground like Hideaki Anno?
No, because Alan Moore
wasn't entirely up to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Did he do it?
It wasn't him.
Because Anno did. Anno dug it.
It wasn't him.
DC.
Okay.
Every
DC
time.
Had
so Moore still got a bit of a high ground on this
one. Yeah, the shitty follow-ups to Watchmen, the shitty follow-ups to.
Yeah, they weren't by him.
Weren't by him.
Okay,
Dave Gibbons, who drew the original Watchmen, was a part of that Watchmen.
Yeah, he continued illustrating
relaunch thing, and those things are considered
Miracle Man and all that stuff. Like every time Alan Moore does something, he usually gives up as soon as like it's done.
I like this guy, this up and comer, this wizard.
He don't need a give up machine,
but there, I guess
got it built right in.
What's the equivalent of like? Because Anno did Karikano, which is super happy go lucky, couple dating times, and it's like, is there anything like that under Alan Moore's belt? I guess Prometheus kind of happy, but not really.
No clue.
People
no
die
idea.
Hard in that.
But other directors that have worked on Godzilla movies have said, like, ugh, no, never again. It's like, you know, the chokehold.
That's shitty to hear that Toho's kind of the problem in that regard.
Did Kitamura ever get one?
Yeah. Final Wars.
Final Wars was Kitamura?
Yeah.
Okay.
To be fair, though, all these movies are vastly, like, Kitamura feels like Kitamura did it. And, like, for all intents and purposes, Shin Godzilla seems like it's Anno's, you know?
Yeah.
So even if they have this stranglehold on the directors, they make their own shit, which is
still
weird.
Felt anyway. Good.
Yeah. I've seen all these great gifs of a version of Godzilla in this new movie having all these tantrums and freaking out. I don't want to go into, like, spoilers or whatever, but, like, for those that don't, like, research the movie at all, like, Godzilla evolves during the course of it. And
just went into the spoilers.
Well, I mean, in every movie he does
that.
Well, I mean, what else? What'd you do this week, Wooly? I'm gonna dig myself a hole if I keep going.
Dig up.
No.
Dig myself a hole.
Well, okay. I guess I can say like I started off by finishing off
Lucha Underground.
I started off by finishing off. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. I finished off House of Cards.
That's fine too.
It's a goddamn phenomenal series. I'm a bit confused now because
what season are you in?
It's season 4 just ended.
Oh, okay.
And now we're basically like it's almost like the British Office in a way where you're like, okay, you've clearly probably gone further than the original show did. And you're probably going to be around for how long? I don't know.
Like, what's the expiry on this?
What's happening? Yeah, you know? Because I don't know, I know that the British seasons go up to 3 and then end, and I don't know what happens or whatever, but, like, it's a bit weird because it's like, wow, I expected this to be done by now, but it's actually still going.
It's just carrying on, huh?
Well, yeah, and
I haven't seen it.
British shows are weird in that they're like 3 or 4 seasons of 5 episodes each.
Yeah, yeah, no,
a lot of them
short.
Are, at least.
House of Cards is a show that's based a lot on upward momentum.
Right.
An escalation of situations. And there's a certain point you hit where there's nothing more to escalate to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet we're still finding ways. It's like when the crescendo of the song goes higher and higher and you're like, you're at the peak point and you can't. But
when's
then
the beat gonna drop?
But then it finds a way to jump another octave that's not on the piano. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, it's what the
it's
fuck
off
are
the
you
piano
doing?
Keys.
Yeah.
Like, there's a second piano.
There's
next
dog
to it.
Notes getting played.
Is it good though?
It's great.
Okay, good.
It's really good.
Good though.
But it's just so confusing that it's still going.
Hmm.
You know?
Speaking of Netflix, Luke Cage spoiler cast today.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
Because Remy Denton from House of Cards.
Yep.
Plays the main villain.
Yes, he does.
Cottonmouth. Oh.
Didn't know.
In Luke Cage.
Did not know.
Now, I don't know if we can spoiler cast because I
no,
didn't finish
we
it.
No, we cannot. I didn't either.
So then why did you say that?
It was bait.
Oh, okay. Because I'm about halfway through though.
Yeah, no, I'm a little ways in as well. So
I have like one episode left.
Left?
Actually.
Okay.
It's quite good.
I think I'm on episode 6.
Well,
so maybe next week we could.
Is it quite good?
So here's where.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. So when we talk about it.
Here's that was bait.
Yes.
We're just using that fucking fish hook shot screenshot there with the fish mouth open.
Oh, I mean, no specific one. Okay. I was thinking of more the Mad Max
just
one.
Just bait.
That's bait.
That's bait.
That one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's
that
a good one.
Yeah.
That's
I like
yeah.
that one. Yeah. But I would go for the Gilgamesh variant of the fish hooks. I like that one.
I appreciate
unlimited
the guts
bait works.
That one's good. Unlimited bait works.
Unlimited bait works is actually not the Gilgamesh one, but I like that one too.
No, there's the guts one.
Yeah,
where he's got the red eye and he's seen bait before. But anyway,
JPEG artifacted low quality bait.
Gotta do it.
Is a good one.
So, my initial impressions of Luke Cage are, oh, by the way, House of Cards fucking phenomenal. Watch it. Luke Cage, like, I really like what they're doing. I like the style. The music is fucking
definitely.
12 on 10. All their choices.
Hail to the chief.
Yeah. All their performances. And they're clearly like showing off, like, people that are known and some people that are unknown, you know, they're getting like lots of amazing musical choices there in live acts and,
otherwise
a score, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
When characters open their mouth and start talking though, it's just the funniest thing. Cause it's like, it's totally good. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Luke, black, black, blackity, black, 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 Harlem, black, black. Well, black, black, blackity, black, black, basketball, black, 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 African, black, black.
But you know what?
And it's like,
when Luke talks to other people, he's not blackity, black,
no,
black
no,
that
no.
much.
Well,
he's like, how dare you blackity, black, call me that black, black, black.
Right. And
then he'll go, but like,
but
I gotta save the, like,
do you,
yeah, the
do you not appreciate the urban authenticity?
Yeah, I know. And in the middle of like, the beat down, he'll take some moment to be like, look around you, see where you're standing. Black, black, blackity, black, black. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, these random ass thugs probably don't blackity, black, black.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
you gonna do? And then girls coming up on the side like, Luke, black, black, blackity, black, black. You know, and it's just like, wow, we are fucking
that's,
going.
That's what
a missed opportunity not to call it Marvel's blackity, black.
It's really in there. And it's like
it's unabashed and
unabashed,
and there's nothing
and it's,
to back
and
off
I,
from.
And I enjoy
just keep doing
I enjoy 95% of it, but there's always the moments where it's like,
yeah,
you went too far.
It's like, all right, now you're just ham-fisting it in. You're getting every like you're going down the list of Black History Month
scroll
heroes
it down, yeah,
and you're making sure everyone gets a quote in there. You're making sure every
the intro,
notable player,
even the intro. Look at all these really influential
Malcolm and Lennox,
streets,
yeah, mm-hmm. right. And you've got Big Shot of Biggie. You got it, like
Malcolm's ZX advent in there,
you know. And then of course Cottonmouth's like,
Exactly.
Black. You know, like everyone's got their thing and it's fine, but ultimately it's still a superhero Marvel story.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. What I'm missing so far is...
What actual episode do you think? Or like you're midway or what?
I think I'm on 6.
Okay. Interesting. Right? All right.
So what I'm missing so far is, the same thing that, the same problem Jessica Jones had where, you don't have great choreography or tons of combat.
You do not.
You have very basic action.
It's a bit better than Jessica Jones, but
Daredevil.
It doesn't touch Daredevil.
In Jessica Jones?
Yeah.
Because Jessica Jones jumps, the screen cuts awkwardly, and then she.
No, there's a lot of fake fights. She grabs a guy by the collar, and in the next shot, he's across the table.
You know, but
and Jessica Jones is never trying to be a combat show.
Right.
But Luke Cage should have good combat.
It should have more.
Scenes.
Yeah, right. And the thing, it's not bad, but it's.
And you see that,
like. It could be better.
Daredevil,
it's not special,
right? They actually get choreography in there, whether it's gunplay or martial arts.
That's actually Daredevil's strength.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know for sure that Iron Fist is going to be the same. But right now, Luke Cage is mainly just on the politics, on the street level.
Yeah.
And you're not getting a ton of real, like, fights per se, you know? Or at the very least, you're not getting it from Luke.
The problem with it, I think that what that stems from is like, hey, let's make a TV show and have compelling action scenes with a guy that can't be hurt.
Yeah.
So there's like, what do you do?
But then he has to do it.
Then he has to do that, but then like the fucking cost of that making that look really good and having big scenes, they're like, we can't do this because yes, this character can do this and we can make this thing be cool, but that shot's gonna take all fucking week to get.
So there was a moment where you get the equivalent of your Daredevil stairway sequence.
Oof, yeah,
right, where it's like Luke goes in to a big place and takes care of business. But it's like, you could have at least filmed that in a way that was like more interesting. Not a single shot necessarily, but you could have done more with it. And you could have, you know, like had him just be more interesting in his movements.
Right.
And that kind of leads into the next thing, which is, again, loving the show in general, but the two complaints, that, what I just said, and the fact that I miss good old sweet Christmas shit-talking Luke Cage. Right.
Wait.
The Luke Cage that we know from the comics is one that talks so much shit. He is like Shaft, right?
Yeah.
And what we have here is a guy that's just much more stoic and much more like Black
Nicer.
Captain America.
Nicer, yeah.
And more soft-spoken even.
Way more soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason why that's the Luke Cage we have is because the actor's range is not huge. It doesn't feel like he could pull off those lines, those really sassy
being
ass.
A huge asshole.
Yeah, you know, like I'm not quite saying like Dolomite, but Luke Cage is at least 75% Black Dynamite. You know what I mean? And right now you really just have the big hunk of man meat.
Don't get me wrong.
That's kind of his thing.
Yes, but he says the right things and does the right. And he's full of the manners. He's more Steve Rogers.
I haven't really
Tony
read
Stark.
Any comics with him in the past, so I'm not.
Did you read the one where he
teaches
the Punisher how to be black?
No, never.
You should read.
I wanted to.
Okay, so a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can pull
you own that one, right, Matt?
Sorry,
you own that one, right?
I own several copies of that.
I'd love to read it.
Let me see if I can pull this up
for you. I hope I as well can glean something from the lessons.
You too will learn how to be black. Hey, no, that's the screenshot of Dr. Doom. Narrate this, Wooly.
This is why I to explain to Liam the difference between the one we have.
Oh, I've seen this before.
Dr. Doom says, when my men reported a crazy black man in the Fantastic Four's craft, I knew it had to be you. And he's just like, where's my money, honey?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like...
And Dr. Doom would be like, well, do you want like Latvian dollars?
Yeah,
you can't do anything with that. And I am not your honey.
You know, and like in Secret Wars, or rather in Secret War, when they land in Latveria and he's looking around and like he sees nothing going on, and he's just like, I just raised the black population of this country by 200%. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I hear you.
In the show, he does have one-liners, but they're not particularly. Like,
it's not the
memorable.
It's not the same tone.
They're not sassy one-liners. They're just like.
Cool.
I won
cool.
you up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
they're
a
not
tough
even
guy.
That cool.
know? He got a sweet Christmas in there, but.
Yeah, he gets a few more, don't worry.
But I really, that's what I'm missing. I'm just missing the, like, the Luke Cage that makes me go like, oh shit! In the same way that Black Dynamite, right. Shaft,
right.
Dolomite, fair, and every though, other blaxploitation hero
right,
would.
Yeah.
Because fair, let's be real, Power Man.
That was what it was.
Power Man is a fucking blaxploitation hero.
I'm pretty
hero.
Sure
let's not pretend
that they're
well
modeling
be.
This after the more modern Luke Cage, which you have not read, I assume?
The more modern Luke Cage is the one from Secret War. Like, yes, he still
yeah?
talks sass.
Okay, I wasn't
he
sure.
He still talks sass, yes.
It's just that, like, I get a feeling.
Well, he's been
that,
keeping
like,
track.
Like, the blaxploitation thing has not been really a thing
the,
for a
the
long
fucking,
time.
The, no, the fro look and the headband thing is
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, that's long gone.
But he always
there
was,
are more subtle ways to blaxploit.
He always yeah. was a guy where, like
Super Bunny Hop.
It's like when,
yeah.
it's like when Spider-Man is on the page. You expect his panels to be interesting dialogue. Or when Deadpool's on the page, you expect him to be like, oh, I want to read what he has to say. It's going to be funny. Luke Cage is one of those guys. He's got something funny to say.
Okay.
You
okay.
know? But you're not really getting that part of his character in this show.
You know what Luke Cage, I barely remember? That in the middle one with the black leather coat and the little gray jeans and boots and little red shirt. Do you remember the 90s Luke Cage?
There was a point when he just had, it wasn't a fro, it was just a shaved.
Yeah, that's the one.
Down
I mean.
Hair. Yeah, he had
but
a black,
that's
black
the,
leather jacket.
That's teaching
so.
Punisher how to be black Luke Cage. That's the one I'm like, who?
Right.
I'm more familiar with the 70s disco, Power Man and like, you
and
know,
the
modern,
newer one.
The one that's like been in video games and comics I see a lot.
Right.
And hanging around with Iron Fist a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And wearing flashy suits.
Walking around grabbing his dick.
What? Grabbing whose? His own or Iron
his
Fist?
Own.
His own. Okay. It's kind of his thing.
That's what you gotta
that's
do.
That's kind of my thing.
That's what I do.
Okay.
But, no, but beyond that, I think it's so far, it's an enjoyable show. And I like the street level story that's being told. I buy into it a little bit more than Daredevil. Although Kingpin is a really cool
Kingpin's fantastic yeah.
villain.
Kingpin is still the strongest villain in any of the Marvel shows.
But
hit him in Purple Man, yeah.
Man, he beats Purple Man easily.
I think he's better, but Purple Man's close.
Yeah,
but yeah,
good.
I like what's going on here. Like and it's really interesting because like the Cottonmouth, aka Remy Denton, like he's usually the like big hunk of man meat in House of Cards. But then
right.
you put him on fucking camera next to this dude,
yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
oh, geez,
doesn't compare.
You got nothing, man. Sorry. It's fine, though. I went to the Lumina Forest. This is a place up in, like 2 hours outside of, Montreal called Coaticook. And
or
basically.
Narnia. Yeah, that's where the ice cream's from.
It's basically Narnia. It's what they did was they're like, some people had a park. And they're like, how do we get people to come to our park? Put some lights in it.
That's the voice.
And they just went up, all right, they put some lights in it. And then they're like, yeah, this is kind of cool.
Trickery.
But then they hired, like, some actual, like, set designers.
Right.
And production people to get in there and do some real fucking designing.
So they tricked you into thinking it was a good forest.
Yeah.
And it was actually really sick. took some cool photos, had a good time. All in all, it's about an hour's, like, trek.
Worth of stuff.
Right? Like, slight hike across, then you go across, like, a bridge, and then you get this whole thing. But it's just lights and sounds in a forest. That's all it is. Like, I don't want to oversell it for something that it's not, but for it's the best version you can get of that, or at least it has some of the best ideas.
Okay.
Because there's some parts of it that I'm like, eh. They kind of tried to set up a kayfabe where it's like fairies are following you through the forest. And if you whisper your wishes to them, and it's like, all right.
Why didn't you buy into that?
Show me because
you could have had your wishes.
But they didn't execute fully. they fell short in
on the real fairies?
There's moments where you walk around and you see like, what looks like an act, like you're like, oh, is there an actor up there kind of dancing with a firefly? It's like, no, actually, that's a hologram.
What the fuck is this?
And then like the devil comes out and attacks her. And then it flashes
Whoa.
And uses a real crucifix at a chapel in the
is
background.
Is this for children?
It sort of is supposed to be, but then it gets scary sometimes.
Hey, the children have to learn about the devil sooner
yep.
or later.
It tries not to be too unpredictably scary, except for when you go to the bathroom, which is way off, and you walk through, like, way up away from the trail that is, like, the show. And then there's still lights leading you over to it. And then about halfway beyond, the trek, you get sounds of shit in the forest coming at you.
It's not like, just people in the bathroom shitting in the forest?
No, no, it's like shit's going
other
down.
Other shit in the forest.
And you're like, what's all that? Right. And then like laughter and stuff, you know. But the coolest thing I saw while I was there is this is some tech that needs, that should have been the whole show, is how good this tech was. They took, they have, you round the bend and you see a tree and you, and it's right next to like a stone, a large stone wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. And you walk by it and the music's playing and all that shit. Then out of the corner of your eye, the tree's roots start moving a little bit. And you're like, what the fuck? You take a look at it. Right?
And Wooly instantly starts stomping it.
And
trying to kill it.
And basically, suddenly, the tree, the all the roots come alive, and then a face appears on the tree. And then the tree itself lights on fire. And then all these spiraling fairies and lights and shit, like almost like Navi, like mm-hmm. like rotate around it, and the tree goes dark, and then it looks like you're looking at a nega tree, and then you're like, what am I? And then like the background, and then the rocks themselves explode, and a shadow of a person peeking behind the trees, and like what you're looking at is they took a video footage of this tree or a photo of the tree,
mm-hmm.
and then they video edited all this shit. And projected it back onto the tree.
That's cool.
So the texture of the tree and the rock
looks
from
the same.
A distance
yeah.
looks
like blends
the same.
Together really well.
But then shit starts moving, and it's only when you get really close to it, you're like, that's a projection onto the same texture.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have a way of catching it until something's off with it.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know, really good tech
cool
with
idea.
That. And then as you get near the end and it turns into the upside down, you get to this moment where there's a large cliffside. And, a river. And then they just put these, like, almost like disco ball, like crystal shards around with tons of refracted volumetric light, points hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, one of the screenshots I tweeted out, which is just a rainbow crystal like area where the trees, ground, water,
just all
rock
over the place. Everything's covered
in
color.
And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So. Yeah, fun trip.
It sounds
take
neat.
If you ever feel like heading out of town and did it in one day and got back.
Mm-hmm.
The Lumina Forest, or Lumina Foresta, I believe is worth checking out. Do it. Played some of The Witness. Not done yet. We'll report more back when I finish
it. Are you enjoying it?
Thoroughly. I am having some of the discoveries I'm making are like, it's some of the most satisfying feelings I've ever had.
I think it's maybe the best puzzle game I've ever
I've
played.
I've never felt like the little like
the hit. Click when you get that moment of
you
not inspiration
it,
but
you, like,
the epiphany.
Like I feel like it's a shot of morphine. You know what I mean?
It's,
like
it's amazing.
Hit my veins every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because holy shit, that feeling never gets dull.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you've obtained almost like the eye of God in a way where you're just like, I see everything.
Cause it teaches you, but at the same time, you teach yourself how everything works. You know what I mean? Like it goes both ways where they show you some basic stuff.
And then you,
but then
use
you
that.
Have to really apply
use
it
that. Use
intelligently.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I'm thoroughly enjoying that. It's goddamn amazing.
I think it's the best puzzle game I've ever played. Like it's incredible.
More to report when I actually get through it, though.
I have quietly and stealthily continued playing it throughout the year because I know, like, the only thing I've ever looked up was how many puzzles there are. What's
okay.
the number? Because on your save file, you can see how many puzzles you've solved.
Yeah.
What's the number?
Yeah.
And I've just been slowly chipping away at that, and I'm still missing like 50. But I found another ending like a few months ago and it fucking blew my mind when I saw it.
Interesting.
Amazing.
I just, cause I completed an area and then wandered into something that makes no fucking
sense. Totally different. Yeah.
And I'm losing my shit right now a little bit at what's
going
on.
You'll figure it out eventually. No matter what it is, you'll figure it out eventually. Isn't it the Stonewall World Champion? The Witness is the Stonewall champion of the
hard.
Earth.
You eat it hard.
Because it doesn't react.
No.
It is the ultimate at just being straight-faced in your failure.
Jonathan Blow is sitting in the chair behind you. And
he's, not doing anything.
He's just watching as
nothing.
You walk. That's
nothing.
It. I started Preacher. I watched the first episode.
Mm.
just to form an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking weird.
It is weird. It is weirder than the comic.
I'm holding on to what you told me and what others are saying.
Gotta get through it.
But wow, was that not the pilot I was expecting?
Yeah, how about that very first scene?
I know.
The preacher.
And then sitting there and explaining, to my girlfriend afterwards. And I was like, okay, so here's what the comics were.
Yeah. That's a rough explanation. Cause when me and Leanna were watching, we both read all of the comic. So I can imagine someone that hasn't read the comic and you're going, all right, so what's coming up? Oh, no, wait. Was this? And you were confused when things are
very
different.
Much so. So I'm like, so we get through it and like get same reaction as me. She has this just, what the fuck is going on? This is really weird. But yeah, here's what is supposed to happen and here's what they did. So I don't know. I mean, there's some stuff that I enjoyed, but ultimately jury's out on me right now, but it's pilot episode. What can I say?
Yeah. It took me about like episode 5 or 6 where up until that, I was like, I don't even know if I like this. It's not bad. It's just, I wish I hadn't read the comic because I could probably enjoy it a little bit more, but it all really wraps up in the first season. I was like, you know what? That was actually altogether, that was pretty good. I enjoyed it by the end of it. So,
and the only other thing I did was let the voice of love take me higher, because I don't know if either of you have seen the new JoJo intro.
Oh yeah, I have. Yeah,
it's so
it's very very good.
Fucking good.
Yeah. Is it really good?
Like, yes, it's incredibly good.
Because for Crazy Noisy Bizarre, whatever.
Bizarre Town.
Everyone was kind of.
Yeah,
that scene. It was like, I don't. Really
I think
like
it's
it.
The weakest one.
And
I still think
like,
it's
nah,
the weakest
it's good.
One.
I enjoyed that, but people thought it was the weakest one. I thought it was it would fit the tone.
But is it the weakest one?
The new one?
No, Crazy
Noisy Bizarre Town is probably the weakest.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it's the weakest, and I think that none of the season 4 ones will ever capture the dynamic action that the CG ones were able to. Because they're 2D and the era of that level of animation is gone and we will never get it ever again.
Thanks, David Production.
But openings 2 and 3 are a lot better than Crazy Noisy Bizarre Town in regards to their animation.
And like what's happening.
Yeah.
And, they fit the tone very appropriately versus, say, Stardust Crusaders, where it's much more of an action show.
So you really,
the in-your-face action opening is way appropriate for that.
I still knock Chase, though, because the acoustic version's awesome, but I still feel that the music, like, it's not what I was expecting.
Have you listened to the lyrics, though?
Yeah,
do you know the lyrics?
The lyrics are
okay,
good. That's what I'm saying. What I talked about. I talked about how when you listen to the lyrics, it's super awesome.
It all makes sense, yeah.
But, like, and it made me like the song more, but I still feel like it wasn't, like, a JoJo opening feeling song.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like the first 3 seasons.
It felt like
it could have
been more of a Bleach opening, you know? But, this fucking song, god damn it, Great Days.
It's very good.
I got so much hype after watching that again and again and again, and I'm just like, rewatching this intro just makes me love JoJo more. Like,
that's the power of intros.
It really feels right, though.
Like, it captures the tone that I want the rest of this part of Diamond is Unbreakable to be. It captures, like, the colorfulness, the joy of Crazy Noisy Bizarre Town that it was trying to get to, and it just fully embraces it while still hinting at the dark things and still implying, like,
that there's bad shit happening.
There's bad shit happening in this town. But they're gonna fucking make
it. So you watched the latest episode?
Yeah.
How did Rohan move the baby like that?
Yeah, I don't even. But don't worry about it.
I think you could come up with a new weekly segment on the podcast is, hey, JoJo, how did blank, 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 blank?
How did the blank, blank?
How did he move the baby like that?
But really and truly, it's still too early for me to set where it is to me on my list.
On the opening tier list.
But it's really fucking high to me. It's really, really high.
I'll have to watch it.
Cause I think there's some weaker ones. Like, I like the opening.
This is pre-analysis, by the way.
Yeah. I like the opening to the first season.
Yeah.
A lot. But I think the visuals are kind of like not as interesting as the future ones, like mm-hmm. season 2 and 3. Like, I all the manga panels and stuff, I don't really feel that as much as I like the season
oh,
2
I,
and 3.
It's nice, but
2 and 3 really showed that they don't need that, and they can just go beyond that and actually be what was on the pages instead of showing the pages themselves. It does look good. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. It looks great.
But I always, like, to me, it's like, I'm always looking at the full package here, you know? And it's like, whether one song is stronger than the other, but the visuals are a little bit weaker, you gotta make a judgment call on it. You know?
I am.
And,
I am.
In the case of, like, the first intro, like, I do agree that, like, they can be more without the panels, but I thought the panels just they add to the legacy of it.
I think it's more that, like, you look at season 2 and 3 and see how much they improved with the CG, and it's like, between those two things, I'm like, yeah, it does look, it's a weaker
but
full
Sono
package.
Shino Sarame is
it's good. It's really good, that
fucking
song, yeah.
The king on the throne, well. And you're never gonna, you come at the king, you best come correct, you know, like, fucking, come on, like, oh my god, so, there's just, you can see overflowing hints and pieces of lore and things to analyze that I'll leave to our buddy Mother's Basement, because this new intro is like, just, it's jam-packed, but it's absolutely one of my favorite. I hope we see some kind of ending variation as well. That should be fun.
Cool.
Yes.
Very. Yes.
Did you watch Thunderbolt Fantasy yet?
I did not.
Fuck, man.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
I thought it was going to be the letter A.
Gamefly.
Gamefly. Ooh. Okay. I know this service. This is a video game rental service, no?
This is one of the ancient old staples.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the way kids would play games is through the rental service system. Mm-hmm. Whether it was heading out to your local video store, mom and pops, we had a place called Schwa.
They got the job done, I'm sure, yeah.
But those things are gone now. We're adults. Yeah. We're moving into the future. And I think
Blockbuster shut down, eh?
That's not doing much either.
But there was those ancient ruins found in that jungle of Blockbuster.
Indeed.
That was awesome.
And honestly, the plain truth of it is you can beat most games in a weekend
also,
if you apply
all
yourself.
All of them, really.
Also, we live in a world with the internet.
Yes, we do.
And so the internet brings us Gamefly.com.
Ah, okay.
Where you can head on over and rent games that are mailed directly to your door.
Mm, that's
like
handy.
The discs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
At the moment, they're the leading video game rental service. They've got games and movies, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's not MovieFly, though. It's Gamefly.
Gamefly.
Don't mess it up. Don't do that. But no, you don't have to worry about late fees. You can cancel any time.
I ordered No Man's Sky, but they sent me Carlito's Way instead.
They've got thousands of titles to choose from.
Same mm-hmm. thing.
And if you want to head on over to, you know, Gamefly.com/Friendcast, you can start a premium 30-day trial with, again, Gamefly.com.
What does that get you, a premium 30-day trial?
Friendcast.
Do you have those factoids?
You get to check out 2 games and or movies at a time. And
As many as you can get during the month?
At a time.
At a time, of course.
At a given
yes,
time,
yeah, but
instead of one. You can go, you can
that's
sign up
good.
And start, playing games for free for 30 days.
Mm.
So that's what
that's pretty solid,
that's
actually. Yeah, yeah.
So that's gamefly.com/friendcast. Go rent some games. Keep up.
Man, I'm glad Blockbuster's dead.
Long live Gamefly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gamefly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you watch Thunderbolt Fantasy yet?
I did.
That was we had an 8-hour break in that sponsor cut.
Yeah.
Wooly, what do you think of Thunderbolt Fantasy?
Pretty good.
That's a safe answer.
Got the whole thing in right in between that sponsor ad.
That's
and,
amazing.
Do you want to fuck the puppet?
Marathoned it all.
Good.
It is on strings. I also saw Luke Cage I'll just quickly go through kind of how you did things I like and things I don't like. Like you said, music. And amazing. They're probably the best score of any of the Netflix easily.
Oh, by a country fucking mile.
Right?
There's nothing coming close to it. 12 on 10.
And all the actors, whatever, I think everyone's really good. And the dialogue is a little, sometimes it just feels a little off. Sometimes it doesn't feel authentic and sometimes it does.
Depends on the actor. Yeah.
you said you finished you stopped at episode 6.
Around 6.
So 7 and 8 are where I went, oh.
Oh, no, because Jessica Jones has one of those moments.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't say it's similar, but they take a different story tact where I was like, whoa, that's interesting. And then they don't really do anything interesting with it. They spend about one episode and a half where Luke Cage kind of just goes, all right, I'm going to go over here now. And it's all about Misty Knight. And I'm like, this isn't interesting anymore. This isn't about her. Why is it going on so much about her?
Yeah, but her name's so cool.
Mercedes Knight, Misty Knight. I don't. But she's not that interesting
it's
of
like
a character.
Misty Knight.
Like, she's cool.
No.
But she's just a detective. And in all these shows, there's always like seven detectives running around.
There's always a cop.
In Daredevil, there's.
And they're all hanging out and meeting up now.
Yeah, they're all buddies.
Yeah.
And I'm at episode 12 now. It's at 13, and it gets worse and worse after that point. I feel it doesn't recover.
Okay. I'll temper my expectations a little bit.
They just do things with certain characters. Not Luke Cage. Luke Cage is always pretty solid in what he does and his story, but everyone else around, they start going, hey, how about this happens now, how about this, and I'm like, no, go back to American Gangster,
yeah,
where it had the two guys, yeah, and they're having a war for Harlem. That's the story that up until episode 7 I was like, yeah, I'm really liking this. I love the actor that plays Cottonmouth. I think he's great.
He's fantastic. He's damn good at his job.
And I was really up. My favorite, like, since you've already been there, the episode is where Luke Cage gets a suit.
Yeah.
And starts cracking heads.
Yeah.
To solve people's problems. I was like, oh, this is
and
awesome.
And because they're staying true to Harlem, like, Dapper Dan comes out and holds the suits up. And it's like, they're doing the whole, like, full on homage to this area. You know, we got the history in there. We got the writers on. We got the blackety black, 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 black. Does that ramp up at all? You know, that's the only thing I want to know is, like, if the excitement is not quite nailing, are they ramping up the blackness?
No, I think it remains the appropriate levels of black throughout.
Like, are they not just, are we not going to get like Martin Luther and fucking X as stands just coming out, Muda Muda and Aura Aura-ing,
awesome,
while the two of them stand there and just point at each other?
Like, I think it's about the same. I think it's about the same.
All right. I had a dream.
Whatever my stand has a dream.
Claire Temple having the biggest role out of all of the Netflix Marvel shows is awesome. Love me, Rosario. Give me more. Make her, she's a comic character. Claire Temple's a comic book character. Make her an actual, give her powers. Give me that spinoff show yesterday. I want to see more. Anyway. But until we finish it all.
Always happy to see her face. Although so far that's all I've seen.
Well, she becomes a mainstay character for the rest of the
No, it's the fun part about these street level stories is catching cameos and crossovers.
Yeah,
You're like, hey, you're that guy from Uptown.
Yeah, you're that guy
from Uptown. What
are you
doing down here?
I forgot about that. Yeah. And also them going, it was nice that someone went like, oh, I like that Frank Castle shooting up all over there. That guy with the hammer. What a dick.
They need to calm those down.
They need to calm.
Because
the incident.
Every single,
in New York.
You see, like, all right, you gotta do it on the street. Like, yo, man, we got shots of the incident. Whatever you need, any
in
angle.
In 4K. I got it in 4K.
Dude with the hammer, the big green man, all that shit. And it's like, yeah, all right.
Can
fine.
They not say the names?
Well, they're trying to make
it. They say Tony Stark.
I wish they would just say the names, because I wouldn't feel like it was trying to be special about
it. But I think they think that, like, it feels too connected and forced.
I think they should be closer, honestly. Like, I think this, like, this semblance of distance is weird when it's the same. It's the same universe.
And I also think they don't want to undercut the hero they're telling the story
about.
No,
and they shouldn't.
By telling you
that
Captain America is fucking awesome.
You know what? Hold on. Now, Captain America's name should be super public. Tony Stark's. But does anyone call Hulk Hulk?
No.
He doesn't have a name.
No, he's Dr. Banner. He's Dr. Banner.
Yeah, but no one even knows that.
I don't know, maybe.
The everyday person might not know that.
Maybe they do.
And Thor might not have had a press release for himself.
Wait, was there like a newspaper thing that led to him being called the Hulk? Or was it just like...
You're thinking of The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, where a college student is talking to a reporter and says, it was this big thing. It was like this... Like this Hulk.
But no one calls
him Hulk in the movie.
But then Captain America says, Hulk, smash. And he goes,
in Avengers, but yeah. Captain America said that to Hulk. Little kid on the corner didn't say that.
I don't know, maybe. It's
also,
hard to say.
They say Frank Castle in the show, but his name should also be known because he had a big public trial. Yeah. Daredevil is not called Daredevil.
No,
Daredevil.
He's not. No, he's not. He's the Devils of Hell's Kitchen.
At least that makes sense.
Yeah.
At least people aren't saying it that way, but, you know. I, like you, the fighting is not great. It's better than Jessica Jones, but it's still awkward and just not really exciting.
Yeah, I expected more.
Yes. And
I only got 4 episodes in, by the way, because that never came up, but I expected more of the fighting.
There's a moment where, you see, like, well, whatever, you see backstory.
Yes.
And, yes. Like, it's fighting in a place where it's like, you would expect now a fully choreographed battle here.
Oh, yeah, you do. Because I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. it's like you're seeing backstory, so you're seeing, you know, before things went down, and you should see a fully choreographed fight here.
And you don't.
But it doesn't really play out that way. And that's where I'm like, okay, no, they actually just are kind of underselling this part of the show.
It's kind of like the early seasons of Game of Thrones where they're like,
we don't have a budget for
start.
Holy
knock him out.
Wow, what a crazy fight that was.
Yeah.
Man, did you see when that guy's head went flying? Oh, you see that cool parry?
It was so cool, man.
Look at these bodies lying around. We can pay for them.
We'll never show that fight again.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would Jon Snow like
do they just go full crusty?
So stupid.
All the kids are like, yay!
As for what did end fight choreography that I did see, we'll talk about Luke Cage maybe when we've all finished it. But
yeah.
I want to know if you guys also get to that point where after episode 6, I kind of went like, this slows down
to
a crawl.
You know. I'll let you know.
But I had a movie night with the Pizza Pasta Force who watched some Van Damme movies. Because, of course, one of the greatest actors of our time.
Yeah, it's my grandma's favorite actress.
Van Damme wrote and produced... What?
I don't suppose you watch Jean-Claude Van Johnson. It's not a joke.
What is this?
It's a new show that he's in called Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
I've never heard of this.
Okay, well, it's like post-JCVD.
Right.
Where it's like, it's this new show.
Is it a sitcom?
I don't think so, but it seems to be
sounds like it would be a sitcom.
It's like a new show where it's basically, it's like, yeah, an old martial arts actor slash,
He's undercover. Not Jean-Claude Van Damme in the show.
He's undercover. As.
He'd be the worst undercover operative ever.
Yeah, and like, it's his new thing, and like, I saw like.
Is it a serious toned show?
I got a link to it, but I didn't actually.
Okay, because it sounds like it should be silly.
I read the summary.
Like, Dad, what are you doing the splits again? It's the only thing I can do.
The first 10 seconds were pretty dead serious, but, okay. I don't know, but yeah, that's the name of his new show.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Yeah.
Didn't include that.
In 1991, Van Damme wrote, produced, and stars in 2 roles in Double Impact, where he plays twins.
Yes.
One that gets brought up in Hong Kong and one that gets brought up in Los Angeles. And for some reason, they both have French accents. And for some reason, they worked their bodies out the exact same amount.
It's just their heritage.
Anyway. So he produced this movie and he wrote it. How many women do you think grab his dick throughout the movie?
6.
No fewer. Okay.
No, what?
Shared between the two siblings?
Liam says 6. I say over under 3.
Over under 3.
Yeah. The over under is 3. So.
3.
Okay. Right on the money.
And you get away with that because he plays 2 guys.
Ah.
So one grabs his dick the first second she sees him.
The other gets his dick grabbed later on. And then they both get their dicks grabbed at the same time.
All these girls are like, we'll give you a good honking. And he's like, okay. And they both characters get a honk.
All right.
It's crazy. And Bolo Young, if you know Bolo Young, is in this in one of his iconic roles of I am a super ripped, Asian man. Watch me make my pecs do the little jiggle thing.
Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
It's fucking awesome. It was terrible, but, I mean, that's what you're going for if you're watching Van Damme in 1991. Like,
Tarantino needs to get toes in his movies. Van Damme needs to get his junk squeezed. What do you want?
A fair trade. I was telling
Remember when Raul Julia had to grab his,
Yeah, in Street Fighter.
That was good.
That great Bison and Guile sex scene.
That strong anti-air to the flying kick.
Blast the psycho power out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you ever see Psycho Punisher? Yeah, just grab a little lower.
Crush.
Psycho honker.
Ah, such weakness.
I was telling Liam, Da Blob 2 got put on Xbox One backwards compatibility, and I was like, now's the time. I've owned Da Blob 2 for a couple of decades now, never booted it up, and I love Da Blob 1.
Blob 1 was fantastic.
Had some little problems, specifically not being able to save.
Also, concept got a little bit boring after a long time.
It was
pretty fun anyway.
Started up Da Blob 2, and I was like, I did about three worlds, and I'm like, holy shit, this is still just as good and just as fun, and it's not as monotonous because you have a lot of variety where you have a lot of 2D underground sections in the game.
I think the second one's actually a better game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I played it on PS3 a bit.
But if you're 2D, you can't see the surfaces you're coloring.
No, It's limited sections.
It's just to go into this little underground, like, bunker to do a specific objective, then you pop back out on the overworld. Some of them you have to do, and some of them you don't have to do.
Okay.
It works to add variety, though, because, yeah, I see what you mean, where it wouldn't work for the painting, but they don't even try for that.
So. And it's just really fun. Like, I'm sad that developer is no longer a thing. Yes. Blue Tongue. Cause like, for whatever reason, the Blob 1 sold so well when it came out on the Wii, and they were almost accidentally.
Dude, they're not a thing because the Australian dollar got too high, and THQ was like, "Yeah, we ain't doing that no more." Well, that's why THQ pulled out of Australia so hard, and all those companies shut down all at once.
Those dollar dues went too high.
Yeah, I was still working there at the time, and it was too expensive.
I'm gonna
switch to koala pelts.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to give me better currency. How much is this Coke? That's 5 boomerangs, mate. But that's all my boomerangs! Anyway, that's what they have in Australia.
It's pretty good.
It was a busy week for the 3DS where I got River City, Tokyo Rumble, Sonic Fire and Ice. And also, this morning, what's this package? At 9 a.m. in the morning? Why are you waking me up, sir? Here's the thing. It says gift. And I look, and it's from Yacht Club, and it's a physical copy of Gunvolt 2.
Nice,
the Double
awesome.
Striker pack or whatever?
Yeah.
I haven't opened it up yet, but if there's the little cartridge for Zero Striker Gunvolt 1.
No, it's one card for both.
It's one card for both?
One card for both.
Okay, because I was going to say, well, I can use this as, like, I don't know, a toothpick? Gunvolt 1?
Someone brought to my attention the second playable character.
Yes.
Have you played it at all? No, but okay. I looked at some video because I didn't want to get burned again. I really love Shovel Knight, but I didn't want to get burned again.
Yeah.
And I looked at some footage, and it looks like that character might be really fun. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Azure 2 right now?
When we get on to you,
okay,
I'm almost done.
Okay, I'll talk about it.
I didn't actually play it.
Oh, you didn't play it yet? Because
I got it this morning.
I did play it, so we'll get to that.
That might be my way back in. Mm. I hope it is. Because I really desperately want to enjoy that series, but
What I did play is, like I said, River City Tokyo Rumble, which I'm having a ton of fun with. It's really, cause whenever I played River City Ransom on the NES, I could only get so far before I either lose, I wouldn't know my objective, cause I didn't know where to go, cause that game has a confusing layout, and like.
And no real math.
For the DS, which usually the second screen is always used for bullshit, like a map, this one's is really useful, so I can see where I'm constantly going and have to do things, and it's the localization is so great. It really feels like I'm playing a Cromartie game where there's classroom scenes where Kunio is just like, "Hey, what's up, babe?" It's like, "Kunio, I'm your teacher. Stop calling me babe." Yeah. Whatever, babe.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I have to go beat up Toshio.
Nice.
I'm in a hurry.
And he leaves class.
I still need to buy that because I think I told you I ordered it on Amazon, but for some reason it was shipping straight from Natsume and Amazon wasn't stocking it themselves.
Yeah, there was some sort of confusion.
So I think I'm just going to cancel that and buy a digital copy or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I remember I actually confused this game with the one that's about to come out in Japan that just got delayed.
The other crazy big one with all those features in it.
Because I'm excited to play this one, don't get me wrong, but. The one that's coming out in Japan, the environments look fucking nuts. Like, they put real work in on making those stages look nice.
There's few things in life I appreciate more than a good delinquent hero.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
High school delinquent hero. GTO.
And
Willie,
if you didn't know, this is almost like Kirby Superstar, where you have, like, the main story.
Yeah. I saw that ridiculous trailer.
You have, like, a four-player fighting mode, and you have a volleyball
game.
Yeah. A dodgeball game, rather.
Yeah.
Their Double Dragon sprites just show up.
Yeah.
Bobo's just there.
Oh, cool. So, I like a Bobo.
It's in there. I want to continue playing it. It's real fun so far. And the other thing, really quickly is, Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I played about two missions on that, and so far I'm
Which version?
I'm what?
Which version?
Fire and Ice. It's only on 3DS.
Oh.
It's just one game. It's called Fire and Ice because that's the gameplay gimmick.
This is the sequel to the Rise of no
Lyric.
That was the Wii U version. Senzaru, a separate company who made Sly Cooper 4, they made a Sonic Boom game for 3DS when the terrible Sonic Boom came out as well, and it was pretty good. This is heard it's an even better Sonic Boom sequel. Actually good. Like, Senzaru has been doing it on the 3DS.
I've never played
games.
The 3DS version outside of when we played it.
We played the demo at PAX, Prime.
Yeah, okay, so wait, what was that demo? What game was that? At PAX Prime?
Sonic Boom. It has a subtitle, but I can't remember.
That's what I thought Fire and Ice was that game.
This is the sequel to that game. This is a second
and
game.
Why it's called Fire and Ice is because you switch between a fire and ice power. So if the environments have a lot of fire and ice. So if you're on ice, you need to melt it. You just, with one, like, it's like polarity in Ikaruga.
Okay.
Just melt that, go through that, freeze that, go through that. And it's pretty fun. I need to play more of it. It has great Sonic Boom cutscenes.
Yeah, you were
like,
telling me they have full CG.
Nice.
Wait, do they have the voice actors and everything? Nice. Yeah, that's good.
I was really impressed with that. I was just like, whoa, that's a good way to start off.
I played the first one a little bit more, actually. Mm. And not a ton, like an hour. And they really have their own feel, Senzaru's games. They don't feel like Sonic Rush, and they don't feel like the 3D. I mean, they're 2D, obviously. They don't feel like classic Sonic. They have their own thing going on, but they feel really good.
When you're going around loops and stuff, and what's really fun is, like, when you're going around loops and it's going really fast, it's all auto going by itself, and you get blasted into the foreground, and then it keeps going. That's all really fun. That feels like Sonic to me. But then there's those little extra bits, like using the energy tether to swing, and it's a little bit slower, so there's a little kind of decrease in momentum.
That's the Senzaru feel
but it's not bad. It's just like it's a little different, and you're just like, okay, I'm on my way. It wasn't intrusive, it wasn't clunky, it felt fine. And I was having a good time with it. I two missions is really not enough to really get a real feel for it. But
so, like, the Boom games are like a third line of games now, basically.
I'd say a second. I mean, if it continues past this.
Well, there's the classic Sonic
technically
style.
Since Sonic Mania is a thing now.
Sure, yeah.
There's there's the
modern Sonic
adventure
project
style.
Whatever.
You know, and then I guess this is the third one. I mean, Mario has different styles of games.
There's no reason not to. Mario Maker came out. Mario Maker counts as a retro Mario game.
It does. So I think it's interesting. Yeah, they're doing
it. It is good. I hope they get to keep making them.
Because so far it's pretty good.
Because that's the only series that has those, like, has the show and the voice acting and that stuff going for it.
Yeah.
So, like, it would make sense to, like, leverage that, you know?
I think that's not, like, the only, quote unquote, big Western 3DS exclusive series that exists.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, or maybe even big Western, handheld game that exists.
Monster Hunter, I guess.
No, not developed in
but
Japan.
Sonic Boom. Oh, wait, Sonic Boom isn't made in.
It's not made in Japan. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a Japanese franchise, but.
But it's like,
that was the big news when it was being made.
No other Western handheld franchises these days.
Not really.
And they've done two games so far, so. See if that carries into NX.
And the last thing I played, streamed about three agonizing, tiring hours of Rise of Nightmares, where my knees were already sore that day. I'd walked a whole bunch because a cab was like, all this shit's blocked off, you're getting off here.
I thought we were gonna do a full LP of Rise of Nightmares.
No, I did, but I gotta do 3 hours at a time. Can't do a full thing.
I know, right. I thought you and me were gonna do a full LP of Rise of Nightmares.
Oh, well, we will.
Oh, even so?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna play it.
I wanna play it.
I already doing one.
Fuck off, I wanna play it.
No, you need to.
Back off, I wanna play Rise of Nightmares.
Because
Stop telling me you wanna play it.
I got past the point of Rise to Nightmares where that's as much as I had seen. Rise of, but I say 2 a lot.
Okay.
It's Rise
of. I don't know why. Maybe the Japanese version was called Rise 2. Wait, there probably was no Japanese version.
Probably.
So when JoJo stuff starts happening, and it does, everyone in chat, like everyone went nuts. I went nuts. Their pillar men started appearing. It was amazing. Because up until that point, this was supposed to be some schlocky House of the Dead. Oh, there's zombies. There's a weird guy cutting up people. And that's it. That's all I had seen. So when this shit starts popping off, and this was stuff I didn't know about, there's one spoiler I read about years ago that said that made me go, one day I will either play or watch all this game. Because I have to see this take place.
Yeah, that's why I'm interested to play
it. And this thing that happened when I played past it, it was something else entirely. And I went, oh my god, this is so awesome and cool. I was not expecting this. So I had a real blast doing that. I'm going to try to continue that all month because I had a good-ass time.
So James was right.
What'd he say?
He said it's a good-ass game, despite what you'd think.
So what I would like is this not going to happen. Sega would be stupid to do this, but like it's such a money sink. Release this on something else. Now, it is a rail shooter, and you are on a rail, but still...
Is your character walking, or...?
Because there's open areas where...
are you in a minecart, or...?
It's a rail shooter in the sense... Have you ever not actually played it?
No, I haven't. That's why I want to do the thing.
So, you can walk whatever, and you walk by just jutting your leg forward, right? And it works terribly, as you can expect. But also, if you do a Hail to Hitler with the Kinect... It auto walks you to your objectives. Now, you're in giant open areas and some objectives are such where it wants you to do platforming, in which case it will not auto walk you through that because then there would be
no jump and shit.
Challenge. But you're working with the Kinect, so I don't know what it expects.
I just want someone to be walking by your window and just see you in full Zeke Heil. Just standing in front of your TV.
Fortunately, I'm on like the third floor.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
It takes work.
Just peering in, and you're not moving. You're just standing there doing the full salute.
Just staring forward.
Like, all right.
I suppose if you were on the third floor across the street from me and looked in my window, you would have seen
that
it.
That sounds like a full-on Seinfeld's plot right
it,
there.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
I think my neighbor's a neo-Nazi, but he's Polish.
It was really fun. And yes, I would like to do a full LP on the channel. I was and I have like the little lapel mics because you can't.
Oh, did you buy lapel mics
now? It works.
Are they better than the shit one I got?
I don't know.
Probably then.
I don't know if it is.
But
it seemed to work great. You just have to wear it down on your chest a bit lower because it was peaking a little bit.
Turn down the gain or something. Or turn down the gain,
but I couldn't really because it was a very basic.
Right.
Thing, but I suppose
you have to clip it to your tie. Now we have to wear ties.
No, you got to clip it down. Ties too close to your face. Anyway, because we can't use these mics because they'll interfere with
they'll get in the way
with the Kinect.
I'm glad you got those though, because I want to use them.
It was a good time. Good stuff.
Liam,
wait, hang on. I didn't get my phone out. So this week
we played Convolt.
This week was And I saw some people asking me about it already. It was Cube 2 Hypercube.
Oh, right, yes.
And I'm really, really upset, actually, because I went to rent it, and I didn't have enough cash on me, because I can't use my fucking credit card if it's under $5. So the guy's like, whatever, just take it and pay when you get back. Just bring
just
cash next
just
time.
Just keep this movie.
I recognize the guy. I've been there enough, yeah. And so I go and I take it home, and me and my girlfriend watch about 40 minutes of it. One of the scenes skips, like, it's got like 10 seconds left and it skips, and we're like, ooh, is there a scratch on the disc? That's not good. Mm. And then after enough scenes, eventually they just start skipping wholesale.
Oh.
And we're just like, no, we have to stop. We have to stop watching this.
It made the movie better.
We got about 40 minutes in and we had to stop. Oh. So it was a real bummer. And I'm gonna torrent it or something.
That feeling sucks.
What sucked more was when I brought it back, I was like, I can't even tell him it didn't work and I don't want to pay for it because I didn't pay for it.
But I won't. Yeah.
And so as a thank you, because he was a very nice guy, I just paid for it. It was only like a dollar anyway. Yeah. But like, it didn't work, guys. So,
you know,
that was a real bummer. So I didn't get to watch Cube 2 Hypercube really. It was really different so far, and I was really
Did
interested
he ask
to
you
see
what
where
you
it
felt?
Went.
About it?
No, nothing.
No,
nothing.
Okay.
Because it could have been like, that Yotsuba comic where it's like he returns the movie and then Yotsuba's just like, Daddy says this movie is shit!
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's okay. It's
okay. It'd be great if old DVDs had like a little note section inside the case.
And let people write how they write their letters.
Yeah.
I found all the continuity errors. Here they are.
I watched the movie good.
I watched the movie good.
I watched it better. I played Lego City Undercover a bunch.
Wow.
Which I've never played before, so I just started that. Matt, you played it a little when it came out.
A little bit.
That's
the load times on that game.
The load times are nasty. That's the Wii U exclusive launch title, Lego title. Near launch. Spring, summer, whenever it came out. It's really fun, and the writing's actually on point. I really enjoyed it as an original story.
Rex?
No, I think Rex is the villain.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
This is pre-Lego movie, is it?
Yes.
This is pre-Lego movie, yeah. So,
it's a Grand Theft Auto game.
Traveler's Tales. They made this, it's an original open world GTA style game where you play as a cop. The writing's really enjoyable. Really, like,
turkey-fisted.
Really hammy dialogue from cop movies and stuff. Tons of memorable quotes from other
cop
movies.
Damn it, you're a loose cannon, Lego man.
Yeah, that's exactly the tone, basically.
And he's holding a loose cannon. Yes.
They're pretty literal sometimes. It is the Lego series. So it's, and every now and then you feel like there's a joke that's trying to hit, but it's clearly for 7 year olds and you're not seven. So, but then you hear a quote from Dirty Harry and you're like, okay, well, who's this for? So
kids don't like Dirty Harry.
I find the Lego game's sense of humor doesn't always work, because I feel like having played two in the past 2 years, a lot of the jokes are for very young people, and then some of the jokes are for adults,
for the parents,
and they won't hit the kids. And I don't feel like anyone or many people get all of the jokes in. And I feel like there's a lot of them that you end up just sitting through and looking at and going, yeah, it was a joke.
It's for daddy.
That was a joke.
That joke was for mommy.
Like, it feels like it's for a kid and a parent playing at the same time, kind of. But anyway, I am quite enjoying it. It really makes me wish they'd take a stab at making another original one. I'm sure it's hard to want to, considering how well the licensed ones do perform. They do incredibly well for them.
There's some bad ones out there, because I played a bunch and I tested a bunch.
Yeah, you've mentioned before.
The MMO was a pretty good example of taking the full original concept and running away with it, because you had this giant, giant world with like different theme. Every playset theme was like a map, you know
what I mean?
A
different area, yeah.
And it was, at the end of the day,
did it have like writing and a story and stuff?
Yeah, in an MMO sense, in the sense that there was a story that would get you into the game, and then you could kind of wander about, and eventually you meet like factions that tell you to do things for your quest points. But it ended up just kind of being very nothing.
Okay,
MMO.
This game is a bit better than that. I think.
To be fair, Traveler's Tales makes 7 of these a year, some of them are good.
They have TT Fusion to help, but even then, it's crazy that they have a sister studio just for LEGO development. Yeah. They mostly do like the handheld ones and stuff, but it's jammed back to front with cutscenes and voice acting, and again, the like fully original story. There's some licensed music in there that really surprised me.
Offspring.
Offspring.
Man, this is for a weird audience.
It's really enjoyable. The load times, you're totally right, Matt, are a huge detriment.
I'm surprised that never got at least a little patch at some point or something. I remember those being.
Yeah, they must have went straight onto the 3DS version. Or maybe TT Fusion just did that because that's their job. But it is good. I'm excited to continue. It's supposed to be only like 15 hours long, so I'm already a good way through it. I'm really just mainlining it because, having played Lego games recently, I realized attempting to do any extra stuff before you finish the game and unlocked all your powers is a complete waste of fucking time. Because you just walk to the end of a hallway and you see there's a little icon on the ground that's like, you got to come back with this kind of person.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, I just wasted my time walking down this hallway. Don't even try. Finish the game first. I'll go right onto Azure Striker Gunvolt 2. Played a good bit of it.
Song of Diva. Cue it now. No, I'm not going to play it.
I played 4 levels, including the opening prologue level.
Yeah.
Gunvolt still feels the same. More or less.
I read that.
Admittedly, I haven't played Gunvolt more than once through, so there might be bits of minutiae and stuff that are different, but he feels more or less the same character.
Oh, does he have all of his abilities at least? Or is it that still like that gimped like level 1 version?
Yeah, no, I think he's got everything, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since the first Gunvolt, so. The second guy is, I wouldn't say he's more interesting so much as he's very different. So he has these rapid fire shots that do damage, and he's got these elaborate extended air dashes.
Air dash that you have to hit the guy and then lock onto the
person,
right?
So when you hit and if you run into an enemy with the air dash, it doesn't bill you for the air dash. You get it for free because you only can stock three at once.
And it locks on.
And also it locks your shots onto that enemy. So you're air dashing at enemies and then shooting them. And while you're shooting in the air, you fall a bit slower. Mm-hmm. So he has a very, very different system and a different feel to his gameplay, definitely. Having played a bunch of levels as Gunvolt again, I really think, and I communicated with some people on Twitter and the subreddit because they expressed ire that we don't enjoy Gunvolt. And I have watched multiple speedruns of it at AGDQ and other similar events, and I totally get how you're meant to play Gunvolt. I think the thing that bugged me when I first played through it was the enemy drops and the items, because I always felt like that was the specific moment where I would kill an enemy and I would start walking forward and then I would notice that an item dropped behind me and have to go back for it. And enemies drop items all the fucking time. Huh. So I really think that, cause I've really been trying to look for what the thing was
feeling.
Besides slowing down a little bit to use the lightning and stuff. What else? So I think those are the two things that always bugged me about Gunvolt.
The levels were always kind of way less interesting,
yeah,
though, than the average.
The levels aren't
that
interesting.
I always had a problem
either.
With the levels in Gunvolt, where I'm like, these are just generic.
You're right, they aren't that interesting either. But the second character has a very different feel that I prefer to Gunvolt.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say it's outright a better feel, it's very different.
It's just more you.
Well,
more
I feel like...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but it still has the same kind of pace as Gunvolt.
If I'm directly attacking and, like, you know, and going after the enemies on the screen, like, that already feels like it would be a change of pace, because the locking on shot...
Well, so,
just,
like, the reason it's,
really
like, different
like it.
And not outright better or anything is because... So with Gunvolt, you... run up to it, well, you get an enemy hit with your shots, and then you shock them, right? And in a lot of cases, you kind of have to slow down a little bit, because they're right in your way, you know? Not all cases. With this guy,
what's his name?
I can't remember his name, unfortunately. I'm not too big on the plot of Gunvolt, since all it is Gunvolt go collect women. And they actually make fun of that at the beginning of the game, where all Gunvolt does is goes and collects girls, and Zhao, who is totally not a girl. The new guy, instead of land shots and then kind of stand around and shock an enemy, is you have to hit the enemy and then shoot them, right?
Yeah.
But that lends to it kind of the same effect.
It's you're still
you hit
slowing
the enemy
down to shoot them.
And then you slow down and you're kind of shooting them.
You see, that's what I was also.
But I found it felt better and I enjoy the second guy more.
And then you can dash again after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You don't have to touch the ground. You do have to recharge after three dashes. Three dashes you are charged for. If you run into an enemy, it doesn't bill you for it. Like you keep
Copen.
You keep your charge. Copen, thank you. That's his name.
Weird
yeah.
name, but
it's a cool name. Yeah.
That was the bit where I was like, and I can see how this is still a Gunvolt character because you still have to lock.
You still have
and
to
attack,
slow down a little bit.
Lock
yeah.
and attack.
But I prefer Copen's feel, and so I've just been playing as Copen for the most part. I fought Shovel Knight once because you can do that at any point, but I fought him. That was the first thing I did when I went in the game was fight Shovel Knight, and I lost horribly because I forgot how to play Gunvolt. But I'm gonna go back to that soon. And
can you fight him with Copen?
Decimate.
Or?
Yeah, you get to pick your character.
And have you been unlocking movement abilities with Copen?
No, not really.
Okay.
Copen has some good stuff though. He has an ability where if you hold up while you dash, he starts just bouncing off the walls and moving extremely quickly in the direction he has to go.
Sounds cool.
Like automated wall jumps.
Are there enough walls in the level to jump off
of? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. In Copen's levels? Absolutely.
They're not the same
levels?
I've only played as Copen, so I assume they have different levels. But I don't know, as you know.
Okay.
The tutorial makes you play as both. And that was where I played as Gunvolt, and I was like, okay, right.
He's about
this is Gunvolt. Right. Okay, let me never play as Gunvolt again. And I picked Copen, and I've just been playing Copen levels.
Great. Okay.
And thus far, there's been applications for that move, and it's really cool.
I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, why don't they like Gunvolt? And it's just like, for me,
I don't dislike it. I just don't want to play it.
I like these characters. The name is cool. The idea is cool.
Yeah.
But like, the music's pretty decent. The sprite work's amazing. But like,
character
almost everything else, like the level design, the actual gameplay, that's objective. But I've always been like, it's just not for me. I don't find it particularly interesting. And it's just like, I just wanted it to be better, you know? Comes down to it. I don't think it's terrible.
I guess it sucks to say this about a new thing that's trying to be a new thing.
Yeah.
But I guess I just wanted something that's more Mega Man.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't get it. And like, it, I'm sad that, like, I don't like a new thing that's, you know, but it's just, it's what I felt.
Well, now it's been Gunvolt and Mighty No. 9 where we're looking at him and we're like,
Is it, yeah, because
didn't
it
really, didn't really want either.
It doesn't seem that hard,
yeah,
but there
Shovel
you go.
Knight, right?
Even
then, Shovel Knight's like,
it's
almost,
a little different.
It's like, it's not the same. Like Mario Castlevania.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Because he jumps better than Simon. But he swings.
I could jump better than Simon.
Yeah, it's true. At least you can change the direction of your jump in the air.
Barely.
Like, seriously.
Barely. When I fell in that moat, oh.
But like, imagine
all
Shovel
the girls
Knight
are at
without
me.
The down thrust.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, that would suck.
That's a way worse game.
It's, but
that's
you got like,
imagine DuckTales without the
you got
pogo.
Like a better version of Slain.
You know,
me and Willie were talking about Slain the other day, and I was like, ooh. I was like, ooh, that game's not so hot, you know? But it turns out I backed it, I guess, so.
And I was like,
and
oh,
then, like,
damn, really?
And Willie was surprised, and then the next day he texts me, and he's like, I guess I backed Slain, too.
That's
completely,
everybody
I was
backed
like,
Slain.
Shit, I forgot
yeah.
what happened to me.
I've been playing a lot of Trials and Tribulations. I'm really just cutting through that because I want to catch up. I really want it. I was late.
Watch it. You don't need to do it. Just watch full LPs of Ace.
It takes
Attorney.
The exact same amount of time.
I know.
No,
such a pointless series to watch LPs of.
I totally agree.
I saw some side by side screenshots of like 5 and 6's 3D models compared.
Yeah, they're incredible.
God damn, Capcom's
they're
have
one
you, have
of
you
the
seen,
most amazing things.
Have you seen the iPad the version of 5?
Yeah.
It, dude, with the resolution bump, it looks nuts. That game looks fantastic.
Cool.
I'm actually like. Not that I have no aversion to it being only on 3DS. That's fucking fine. But I'm actually surprised that they haven't tried to release it on the Wii U or other platforms, you know?
I guess they feel it's just people want that portable, maybe.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just the game's there and you're making it on empty.
Technically, it's a book.
Yeah.
It's so like maybe that's what they think.
I actually think it's cool they released it on iOS and stuff because it fits the platform.
It's maybe the Wii version of Ace Attorney didn't sell well. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of the most popular, like, handheld recognized franchises, you know? Like,
oh, popular,
yeah,
it's just well known.
It's relatively famous nowadays, I think. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm playing that. I'm just catching up. I'm in the case with Fake Phoenix, and it's a fucking blast,
fake
that case.
And true Phoenix.
I'm almost at the end of it, and it's going places I really didn't expect. Mm-hmm. I should start speeding up. I played Darkest Dungeon a bunch, because that just came out on PS4 and Vita.
Right.
I played both versions just to check. The biggest
Did
problem.
You find salvation?
No. No. I just had my first, like, complete party wipe.
Wipe? Complete wipe?
Yeah, yeah. It was fucking nice. Miserable.
Back to the stables you go.
Unfortunately, I had a bunch. I had 12 other characters, so I was able to just go right back in and kill the boss again.
Okay.
I was caught off guard by how the boss fought, kind of, and I realized my party wasn't at all suitable for that fight, so.
Dude, like, the worst is when you have a guy that, like, actually makes it through and generally has no diseases or like,
yeah
you know what I mean,
someone you consider strong and
I
valuable
can trust you.
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
syphilis, you got
right?
syphilis,
but like
that's
I sent
thing.
You in with people that were a fucking they were pariahs,
they were the problem. Yeah,
and not only that, and like I wanted to send you in with my other cool beast man, but you said no, you don't trust him.
I'm religious, so I'm not gonna go in with that guy,
so you had to send them in with the shittier party, and then they all fucking wipe.
There's a lot of fun things like that where you have to consider whether certain party members are religious before you do things.
Yeah.
Or like there was this one bonfire activity where it wasn't Gallows Humor. It was like making fun of God or some shit, and all your religious characters
hate it.
Yeah, and I didn't realize one of my characters was religious.
Yeah,
because it wasn't as obvious like a priest or something
like
that.
They didn't wear like a giant cross on.
Yeah,
his
it wasn't as evident. So when that person took a sanity check like during the fucking campfire, I was like, oh god damn it, why? It's really satisfying when characters manage to overcome
when
their sanity checks though.
That
yeah.
that just exploding like
it's really good.
Triumph.
There's a lot of care put into the animations and stuff. The only thing I didn't really, I gotta criticize him for this a little bit. The UI is great on PC. It really works. It really has that kind of, all around control at all times of everything. And it's really easy. You just click on your character and you click on the thing you want to do.
Liam, what did you play this on?
I played it on both PS4 and Vita.
That's right.
I had to find out, right? I needed to see the difference. I really gotta criticize them for not doing enough.
Do you have a cursor?
No,
oh,
you don't.
Oh my god, that must be the worst. It's a bunch of small windows.
So I really gotta criticize them. They really should have put more work into making a new UI for consoles. And I know that's an incredible amount of work. I really am not underestimating how much that is.
Oh, man.
But the UI that they put in is barely sufficient. They really could have done better. Many games have adjusted their UI for consoles, and this game just really didn't, and they should have. So on PS4, you're using L1 and R1 to scroll between your characters.
Yeah.
On Vita, you're using the left and right sides of the back touch panel, which is just not
sometimes
great.
You have to act fast.
No, you don't. There's no timing based stuff at all in that game. There's no timing based stuff.
What am I thinking of?
When you're poisoned or bleeding,
it's based on
steps. You just stop moving. Mm. You stop moving and your characters take no damage. But either way, it's fiddly. It's really fiddly, and it is an absolute hurdle getting into it. The PS4 version is a little better to control, just because it's got more buttons and such, and even L3 and R3 are used. Like, they really did use everything at the end of the day.
Okay. But
both of them could use improvements, and they said on their Darkest Dungeon subreddit that they're going to look into UX improvements for consoles, because it's clear that they need them, but they're not there yet. Regardless, the game runs fantastic, and once you get over that hurdle, it's Darkest Dungeon, and it is fantastic, and I'm having a great time with it. But the first hour, the most frightening thing about it was the controls and figuring out the UI.
Like, even being back in town, there's so many little things to click on all over the place. I can't imagine that being easy to do.
For a moment, I didn't understand how to pick a certain type of quest and hit confirm, because when I would try to scroll to confirm, I would scroll over a different quest.
Yeah.
And then that would be the selected one. It took me a minute to figure out, oh, well, you gotta hover over the one you want and then press start. Like, that's the thing, because they don't tell you anywhere that you have to do that, you know? There are, fortunately, thorough help screens that kind of tell you what the buttons are, mm-hmm. but the sheer breadth of stuff is not great.
And you can't just touch.
No. Surprisingly, the Vita version doesn't support touch, which seems like a bit of an omission, but,
These are really basic ports in that regard, where they didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, they are very good ports. And after the last patch that came out, they're already four patches in. It's only been out since Tuesday. After the last patch, the crashes are gone, because that was actually an issue that they were kind of plagued with. Mm. And I wholeheartedly recommend it despite its issues, because it is such a good game, and once you get over that hurdle, it's fine.
It's so addictive.
It's really fine.
So addictive.
Yeah. So I wholeheartedly recommend it. And the last game that I'm going to talk about, I got
with
a review
my
code.
Mouth.
With my mouth. Yeah, exactly. I got a review code for Super Dimension Neptunia, which is the Sega Hard Girls crossover one. So you guys have seen at least one episode of that show, I think. Really fun show.
My favorite Sega Hard Girl is Jeffrey McWild.
Yeah. Dude, Jeffrey McWild is a main character. He's a main character in that show. And if you haven't finished it, I highly encourage you to, because he gets more time in the spotlight than Virtua Fighter ever gave him.
Then he's gotten in his own games.
Yeah.
And
I guess anyone out there, go watch Sega Hard Girls. It's fantastic. It's on Crunchyroll and shit. So,
I forgot to watch Tiger Mask.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Good.
You shit. Did
good reviews.
So, this game is not canon, which is really good. It's nice for the Neptunia series to finally drop all the baggage, because
it's a dream match.
It really is. All Neptunia is about is, of course, personifications of the various consoles and companies and such. And over time, it's really been bogged down by these, like, light fluff stories that ultimately are inconsequential, and the games go through this really rote formula of, like, just go collect your characters in this ultra typical way. There's nothing special going on in any of the Neptunia games. Honestly, there's just nothing special going on, really. They're fine and they're fun, but they're really bland, I suppose. And dropping all that baggage and putting one of the best characters in the series in the lead role, which is the Idea Factory character, which is, I know it's an odd pick, but she's legit the best. Putting her in the leading role really helps it a lot. She's one of the, smarter characters. She's not just an idiot all the time, like Nep-Nep or anything. Also, relegating all the other characters to extremely minor roles, where since it's not canon, they've never met before. They're not friends at the beginning. They don't know each other. And for all intents and purposes, they don't matter. And the only versions of them you get in their party are you get these clone versions of them who can't talk. Which means you're getting the best mimics. Versions of these characters ever because they are there solely for their objective purpose and can't talk. And I really appreciate that.
Sounds like someone hated a lot of what a lot came of the, before.
Dude, a lot of the characters are junk. 70% wow. of the cast in a Neptunia game suck. They're nothing. It's like I enjoy playing them because it's fun and it's like it's easy to just get into and relax to it. But like it is a hard otaku bait series.
Right.
It's not like Final Fantasy or Tales or other, you know, original titles like Lost Odyssey and stuff where it's
a little bit of otaku bait, but it's still a main still a thing going on.
Neptunia, it's the opposite. It's like Senran Kagura and stuff. It's hard otaku bait stuff and
a little bit of a thing going on.
And Neptunia just ditching all of that and finally putting one of the more thought worthy characters in the main role is great. And Neptune's role in the game actually is fantastic because they transform her into a motorcycle that you ride yes. around and you don't have to fucking worry about her because she's just a bike.
Isn't there some new series coming out called Drive Girls or something where girls are all
bike
girls or
that's,
something?
It's by the company that brought you Bushido Blade. Kurosawa Lightweight. Cars. Yeah, exactly. The first trailer for that came out. It finally. Actually looks like a like not as good Transformers Devastation, but it still looks kind of fun. So,
okay.
Well, like you said last time we brought it up, we're spoiled by Devastation.
We're spoiled by Devastation, yeah. But as a Neptunia game that drops all the weight of the previous games and is not canon and doesn't require any knowledge of the other games to get into, it introduces new mechanics like running. Hey, that wasn't a thing. Running, climbing. It makes the environments more interesting, right?
I can imagine.
Getting to do big jumps over gaps and stuff like that. It just feels like such a step above any other Neptunia game that's come before it. Usually, whenever anyone asks me, hey, should I get a Neptunia game? I always say, honestly, no, get Tail, like, cause you're, usually these people are coming on the Vita. I've never had people asking me about the PC versions, but whatever. I usually just say, get Oreshka, get Tales of Hearts R, heck, even get Criminal Girls. They're all better than the Neptunia games, but this one, I definitely have to make a special distinction for. This is probably the best Neptunia game just because it omits all that other bullshit. And it's an improved version of the core gameplay that was always relatively light. I actually do recommend this Neptunia game. It is good. And they did it, and you don't need to play any of the other ones at all.
And does it seem like they might stick with this direction
no.
from here? No.
No. This is, yeah. this is,
yeah. So, it's non-canon, but.
So it's a bit complex because the four games, 1 through 4, they're made by Compile Heart, right? The remakes of 1 through 3, which are the Vita and PC versions that are like the good versions, they fixed the fucked up shit versions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are made by a company called Felestella, right? I think they made, Summon Knight 5, those guys. Felestella, this is their first original Neptunia game. And even the fourth Neptunia game was made by Compile Heart. So the reins were not handed over for Felestella to be the mainliners, I guess. But nonetheless, Felestella kicked Compile Heart's ass and made a much better game. The Sega Hard Girls aren't in the game quite as much as I would want, truth be told. They're kind of, you travel between four different eras, the Mega Drive era, the Saturn era, the Dreamcast era, and the Game Gear era, which weirdly gets its own era, even though it's kind of just like a sub-time period.
Yeah, it's handheld era.
Yeah, I know. They kind of they gave it its own era, but whatever. And when you go to those eras, it's always just like the Neptunia character versus the equivalent character. So in the first area, it's Neptune versus Saturn. And it kind of just boils down to a bunch of cutscenes, and they don't really fight. So, but the core game is good, and I do recommend it if you're out for a Neptunia game because it's the best one. So,
okay. Wow.
And if you really like the Neptunia plot, I'm sorry, it's not that good. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, it's not that good.
I don't know.
Drive Girls looks good.
The plot of that looks great.
The plot of that looks good. Yeah, it's a lot of plot. Some of the characters have backstory.
They're all cars.
They're all cars, man. Mm. Did you watch the gameplay trailer for it?
Also,
It's got drifting and it's got racing around. Also, it actually looks like a thing, kind of.
Everyone stop telling me about Kaiju Girls. I'm not really into it.
Yeah. No,
it's not what I want.
I looked at it too and I was like, no, this is
what I want is that image that I retweeted a few days ago of this cute American girl wearing a big ass costume of Legendary's Godzilla and she's holding the American flag and she'd just beaten one of the Mutos and I'm like, that's the show
I dug the art. You've probably seen it before too of, giant girls dressed as Pacific Rim robots.
Yes,
punching around. Right, that's what I want for Kaiju Girls,
Kaiju
too.
Kaiju Girls
yeah.
Not exactly what I'm looking for.
So, speaking of not what I want...
Oh.
Nidhogg 2 was announced.
Nidhogg 2.
Ooh, good segu. Yeah.
You know what? I would take Nidhogg Girls.
Nidhogg Girls, I would take
but those
that.
Just
I would...
be yellow stick girls.
Yeah, with swords. I'd take,
that's fine.
I'd take that.
I'd take that over this.
Fancy yellow and orange dresses.
Hey.
So did you watch the gameplay for this game?
Is there more than the 17 seconds now?
Oh yeah, there always was. Yeah, because there was a stage thing on Twitch. TwitchCon. Yeah. Right after the trailer, and there's about 20 minutes of gameplay maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I watched it all. So okay. Just for context.
All
I did
I've
watch
seen
it.
Is that 17 seconds.
Okay.
Hey, Nidhogg 2 was announced. Yay, this is what it looks like.
It's been a long time since the game's
now,
what was that analogy you gave about the change in art style? Like,
what was it?
This is probably what they wanted all along.
Oh yeah,
is this the original
it makes me really worried. Was mesh this off? The I can't breathe.
Mess off or mesh off? like it's you, what
off.
You got was
oh
a
my
very.
God.
Get
I need
some
to
water.
Get a drink.
Yeah, yeah,
go get a drink.
Do it. What we saw in the original game was a very simplified art style, and it makes me wonder exactly, like, is this what he wanted to do or what he potentially saw this world as, but we just...
Oh, we can't pull it off because we have no money and no time.
Or
holy shit, we made a bunch of money and have time now.
Now it's important to make the distinction that Nidhogg never took it...
So
yeah, sure, you can have one. Right? Nidhogg never took itself particularly seriously. And
what?
What are you talking about?
Oh god.
And get your drink, man. Get your fluids. It never took itself particularly seriously, so I don't think that we needed to get 2D Dark Souls characters running through churches to kill each other. At the same time, what we got here is the polar opposite of that, where it's like full-on homers attacking each other.
Yeah.
I would say there's such a thing as too much graphics.
I mean, the animation's nice.
Yeah, but that was never the problem.
I kind of dislike how they went away from like individual frames and now they're using like the paper doll style of animation.
That doesn't look as good. That'll always look worse.
Yeah.
Always. You combine that with like the wacky aspect turned up to a 9 so that you kind of have, I guess, what feels like Twitch baity, you know what I mean? I think was the term.
It was revealed at TwitchCon.
The thing that like I really feel is a bummer about it, I think you're kind of on the nose, is like there's nothing really wrong with Nidhogg and there's nothing wrong with adding stuff to it, but my perception of it, and I think a lot of people's perception, was always that it was a somewhat like goofy serious fight where these fencers were really serious about their fight.
Yeah,
but it's kind of silly,
but the world is goofy.
What I don't like about the new Nidhogg is I feel like the only dial that got turned up was the goofy.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it got any more serious. And admittedly, people who have the impression that it's serious, including myself, including yourself, it's our perception of this fight that's very low fidelity. And it's hard to tell if that's what they ever intended
exactly.
or not. But that's what I felt.
You're getting a modern day, rearrange of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And the beeps and boops. When turned into chords,
I thought they were different.
They weren't a symphony orchestra.
Yeah,
they were actually clown noises and
and
a circus. You know,
that's kind of how I feel.
Go ahead.
I think the core actual thing is like the same thing with Runner. Was that hey, look at our game that has a really basic art style.
Yeah.
People really like it.
It's very similar to Runner. Let's make
a sequel, but. Like in the Atari days, if you made a sequel, no one cared. It looked almost exactly the same, had new levels. Then people would second guess themselves saying, we can't do that for a sequel. We have to make the graphics look different to make people go, oh, look, it looks newer and it's not just map packs or whatever. It's a full-fledged sequel because it looks like it has a completely different art style. Look, oh my God, it's a brand new world. And like Runner suffered. Runner is less fun and less easy to keep a track of mm-hmm. because of the updating graphics. Not unplayable by any means.
No, it's
but
still
like,
good, but I do prefer the first one.
And same thing with Nidhogg. They looked at it and they went like, well, we can't just make, you know, the same stick guys. People will just be like, oh, doesn't look any different. I'm not going
to
buy it.
Oh, before now, I died too, I wanted to mention
what happened before you died?
Well, I was about to say.
Right, okay.
Like, you look at what they added and it's like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. You knock it out of the park. You add more weapons, you add more movement. Add interesting things to the stages to interact with, and you got yourself a fantastic fucking Nidhogg game, which you already had.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is just build on top of that base. You can't fuck that up.
So I watched the gameplay, and the core gameplay seems borderline unchanged. It really, so I haven't played it, but it seems like it plays more or less exactly the same, which is great.
That's paramount.
That's what it should play like, and that's great.
It's just now hideous to look at.
Yeah. The one change that I'm not sure about, and I really hope they have options, or really hope it's not a default thing or whatever, is, when you spawn with the next weapon in the rotation, is what it seems like.
Oh.
Which, there were situations, granted, this was their first time playing, so obviously there's gonna be unfamiliarity, and getting used to that would be fine. There were situations where people spawned, and they didn't have what would be an ideal weapon for how close they're spawning to an enemy mm-hmm. and stuff. When, you know, there's no problem. Like, the fencing sword is always perfect at all ranges because mm-hmm. it has your projectile and stuff. But the other weapons have very different properties. So I'm... Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I'm concerned about that, but it seems odd. And I wasn't... I assume they're a fixed rotation, but I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't... like tracking it and making sure it was fixed.
Not at all how I thought the weapons were going to come into play.
Yeah, no, people are spawning with different weapons after death.
Jeez, okay.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Might not be good.
No, everything can be thrown, just like the sword.
Of course.
But otherwise, their movesets are different. So.
I'm sure, like, even with the style of the characters, like, you're probably going to have skins to, like, get the classic guys or something.
Maybe.
Like that.
Or Twitch streamers.
Yeah, you know, like, right.
The fucking speedrunners pack of, like, less players and stuff. Oh, gun in mouth.
I'm sure that, like, you're going to have a lot of that coming out to make it, you know, what it was or so. But I don't know. I guess it's just, like...
What was the point?
If
Liam Sena plays really similarly, what the fuck was the point?
Just the guy wanted it to be funnier and more goofy and wacky. And the way they bleed and stomp each other's heads out and stuff is more like... Like a gory mm-hmm. humor kind of thing, and it just kind of goes over the top, and that's all fine.
It just loses something in its simplicity.
You don't want to, it's not like the cool factor was a 10, it's just you kind of.
The cool factor was only a 10 for some people, yeah, exactly.
And it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And you kind of felt that bothness, you know? Like you felt the duality of it. And now, yeah, like you said, they hit the nerd.
There was enough goofiness that eat the dick felt appropriate.
Yeah.
Eat the dick.
But like, the game visually to me, like it hurts my eyes. Like it looks ugly, and what it looks like since I spent years trudging through Xbox Live indie games, there's a certain amount of Xbox Live indie games, specifically Xbox Live, where they had this over detailed textures like that are supposed to look gross and weird. There's like weird like side scrollers that look like that. A lot of overhead like twin stick shooters that have like these gross brain textures everywhere and flesh mm-hmm. and hair and like, oh, it's so gross.
That hyper detail.
Hyper detail that makes it unsettling. And like, the whole, like, the one thing I like about Nidhogg is just how clean, yeah, it's basic, but, like, it helps you focus on the gameplay.
Yeah, the backgrounds.
I actually find it harder to, like, look at this.
The backgrounds that I saw seemed pretty nice, but I hope that they don't ditch the almost psychedelic, trance, like, ridiculous colors.
And, in the sky level and
stuff. Yeah, because that was part of it as well, where, there's that trippy aspect of the game is just kind of like you're where the fuck is this taking place? Mm-hmm. What is this? You know,
yeah, like, the world is so weird.
You don't want to kind of lose that either.
Like, this is just the initial unveiling, so things might change. But like right now, it's just like
seems pretty deep in on this art style. Though,
seems
and like
you know, it seems like it's like meant to be like you stream this wacky thing.
Well, I think a part of it is Nidhogg doesn't have tons of appeal visually. The original, it's you either like it or you don't. You know, and it's I don't think it appeals to most people. When you just look at a screenshot of Nidhogg. When I look at it, I think that game looks great. But I think if you show that to most people, they wouldn't say so.
I think it appeals to older people that, you know, might have grown up or played games that look like that. And younger people might not. But
I feel like nowadays there's enough retro throwback that most people, like...
Yeah,
like, most of the people this is selling to can look at it and get it and appreciate it.
Like, yeah, but I think stuff like Hotline Miami, like, it's got... more to it. It's got the thumping soundtrack and you can see the action and the gore and the level of detail is a lot higher. In fact, the level of detail is close to Nidhogg 2. Like the first Nidhogg's so light almost. It looks like it looks a bit above an Atari 7800 game. Granted, at a higher speed than the Atari could ever dream.
At Fathom.
Yeah.
Much smoother animation.
Miami has a great balance between like a lot of detail and a lot of gory detail trying to be cool, but still be fairly simplified.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's not one way or the other. It's like stuck between the two, and it actually...
It doesn't go as far as Mother Russia Bleeds.
Yeah, it doesn't actually, I would say. Mother Russia Bleeds is really close to being almost visually ugly to me, but that's actually the appeal.
It actually... It is. I would say it is ugly, but it's like... That's... Everyone's
supposed
to
be
ugly.
Filthy. Yeah. You're playing as hobos. Like.
Yeah. But since we're coming off of a first game,
It's just hard to adjust like this. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you know, I think the dislike bar on the trailer, like, also kind of reflects
that. Oh, is it really bad?
We're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, not have a feeling that art style.
I just saw a few people on NeoGAF just going, I don't really like this. I didn't think it was that.
No, and then you read the comments below and like, yeah, people are like really,
there's this one warrior on NeoGAF who's somehow a mod. Who's like yelling at people for not liking it and saying it looks poor in their opinion. Mm. And it's like...
The frames are there.
What a hero.
The work is there.
Yeah, the art is of a good quality.
I bet it's
doesn't,
up to you.
It's not what I want in Nidhogg. It's not Nidhogg for me.
It isn't, yeah. But if that's what he saw, then... Our brains
like
filled in details that perhaps shouldn't have been there.
I really just want to know, is this what Nidhogg was supposed to be? Is this what the illustration was the whole time? I don't feel like it was, but what
Doodles
do I know,
in your
apparently?
Math book.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of things that are supposed to be, the No Man's Sky story continues. We're entering
the good arc, the Tengoku Hen.
I don't know.
No, we're still in silence arc.
No. We're entering the arc of the authority of the Advertising Standards Agency.
Oh, okay, the other story. Yeah.
Where...
I was thinking of the Jeff Keighley story.
Oh, that's the other part of this.
That's the good story.
But the first part of this is that No Man's Sky is being investigated for false advertising.
Yeah. This reminds me of when people mass complained about EA and the... What company was it? The Better Business Bureau or whatever investigated EA and they won the shittiest company of the year award or whatever.
Right.
Because like, not to say complaints aren't valid, but because people complained about them enough on the internet, it eventually got to that point.
There was a mass complaint, of course, you know, that was filed and, they're being investigated for, things that were advertised inaccurately or promoted inaccurately, such as user interface, ship flying behavior of animals, space combat in general, structures, buildings.
Yeah.
I find it weird to lobby these complaints on video games, like still to this day, no matter what game it is, if you're like false, it's just shitty. It might be disappointing to you, but like, you know, it's a video game. You can still play it. I think at the very least, if you can play it, it wasn't really false advertising.
At the same time, though, that comparison of, like, the amazing Jurassic Park moment compared to what you did actually get was, like, this is pre-visualization almost of what you can expect.
Yeah, but you know what? When you go to a Burger King and you look at or see a commercial Certainly. And you see these glistening perfect burgers,
well, you know,
those aren't getting
But that just harkens back to a shitty era of video games, like when you'd see the Killzone 3 trailer.
Bullshots.
Or when you'd see the bullshot. Yeah. When you'd see the pre-rendered.
I love that era because it was so flagrant, whereas this is straddling the line. I want big, massive lines.
Giant pre-rendered first-person cutscene, you know, like that was a horrible, shitty era of video games that I don't want to go back to.
Where's all the false advertising claims for Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yeah,
it harkens back to that.
I honestly I think we're also adjusted to companies using bullshots and stuff like that. That it's just normal.
Sometimes we don't, but really, they shouldn't.
You should never fucking do it. Like, and I'm not, and I'm, you know, whether this is too extreme or not, I don't know, but yeah, No Man's Sky, they are still using screenshots on their Steam page that are reflective of like big space battles and stuff that just doesn't happen. Like, I played it a good amount and that shit just doesn't happen in the game. I don't care how big the universe is. Doesn't happen in the game.
That's not happening somewhere.
It wasn't there.
Could you imagine if they managed to prove that all happened? So, anyway, but.
Oh, in that planet, in that sector.
And like recently, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth and Monster Hunter Stories, Vita and 3DS, respectively, those companies, Namco and Capcom, were showing off the games with these crazy bullshots of ridiculously high resolution downsampled shots where you're like, that's like the Vita is pretty powerful, but it can't do that. Mm. And Monster Hunter Stories, you're looking at it and you're like, What magic version is that?
Yeah.
What is that? It's a 3DS game. Fuck off.
I think companies should double down on lying and bullshots.
Go further.
It would be far more entertaining than these like kind of slight like whatever, you know, like but I want people to fucking just give me the biggest lies.
But like, you know, it's especially dumb now that we're in an era where no one's going to get mad seeing the actual product, cuz it's like video games look pretty good these days, you know? Like I think the accuracy thing, it meant a lot more back in the day when we still had like pixels.
I would contend that there are
drawing tool than like actual like 3D models that are now approaching hyperrealism. And you know, I just think that when you have your game like you said, downsampled and like it's the most ridiculous version running off of a computer, mm-hmm. not on the actual hardware that you're going to be playing it on. Why invite the anger of everyone and the ire of everyone that sees that and goes, what the fuck?
I was going to say, I would contend that today is the most violent age in regards to...
We are now in the violent age.
People like violent crusading for downgrades adjustments between release and launch. You know, when you look at like the YouTube channel Crobcat, who's been getting a lot of hits lately. His channel's mostly composed of demonstrating like snafus and graphical downgrades and shit. Not to say it's not merited to show those things off, but that's what his whole thing is about. You know, when you look at these channels gaining traction and stuff, it's pretty demonstrable that people want that and that people are like out for blood on that. And whenever you get like a rallying cry around something like Watch Dogs or No Man's Sky, then it gets really extreme. Batman. But like 90% of games that do it don't get anything, because like, it's always the rallying cry that does it, you know.
How far back? Like does this go?
Batman 2 and Mortal Kombat on PC to an extent, but then again, stuff like Digimon just goes under the radar and nobody pays attention to it because who cares?
A bullshot can't convey a bad frame rate. Just, you know, do what you can with what you have. And,
for those games, it's even more. It's
how
like
how far back does bullshots and lying go? Can you think of an
fucking
example?
From the beginning.
From the beginning where you would rent a game and on the box it would have fucking Fabio with an axe cutting someone's head off and two women splooging on his knees.
I want to Google this. Playing fucking Tetris.
Sure. Or Street Fighter 2010 or, you know, like, of course. It always. Goes,
but like.
The fuck was Phalanx about?
God.
Where's that old man? I want to play that old game. Man.
Tell me more about this man.
You know, of course.
Phalanx, his name is.
But, No Man's Sky, though, it was more than just bullshots. It was.
Oh, you remember features. Red Steel bullshots?
Oh, yeah, I do. Now, to be
that
fair.
That was next generation bullshots.
Yeah. I might recall Ubisoft actually saying at the time, these are. They were.
Target renders.
These were target renders. I believe they said that, but I might be wrong.
But let's not.
I want Red Steel screenshots for every game.
And of course, you know, there's like Watch Dogs and stuff like that. But yeah. Let's not zoom Watch in too Dogs much on really just that aspect though, because remember that No Man's Sky wasn't just that. It was.
Those are amazing.
I will never forget these bullshots. Yeah. Like, you remember this one?
Yeah.
How could you ever forget that one?
But anyway, it was full-blown features that were just like exaggerated and or not fully defined. Yeah. But left up
I still think the silence is the worst thing here because it's not helping.
Catch me up. Catch me up on multiplayer because I long stopped caring about No Man's Sky. But like, was that a feature that was on like the boxes or on the digital pages saying multiplayer is in this game? And when you booted it up, it wasn't.
Sean Murray said that there was online interconnectivity. And he did, and he said that, the chances of you running into another player are like infinitesimally small.
But that you could, yeah.
But that it could happen.
And has anyone had documented proof of it happening?
Yes, people standing in the exact same place, looking at the same sky, at the same rocks, and then turning around
but
where each other
when
would
you're
be,
told multiplayer, you are to assume that you will be interacting with people the time.
Well, he specifically, like, there's even bits where they ask, Sean Murray, whichever interviewer it was at
the
time.
His name is Sean Murphy, I believe. We talked about this.
Yeah, no, that's a different person. Where they asked him, like, what does the pilot look like? What do you look like? And he says, well, you won't know. Other people can see that, something to that effect. But he says that, you know, other people can see what the character looks like and stuff, and that's not
true,
a thing. That's not at all a thing.
Player.
And there's no model for the character.
So what you thought was
so it could
basically
be just breasts floating in the air like Jurassic Park Trespasser for all we know.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Story time, kids.
Story time?
Okay. So when.
Tell me a story, Willie.
When Rock Band and Guitar Hero were tearing up the fucking charts. And
2008, 2009.
Back in the music age.
Right. And, you know, Bomani, who are the rightful kings, decided that their answer to the Western rhythm game would be Rock Revolution.
Rock Revolution!
God.
They put out this full set, two mics, drum set, and guitar thing going on. It was terrible. It was a garbage game.
Yeah.
Right? Terrible soundtrack, unfunny, unfun.
Unplayable.
Nothing.
You worked on it briefly, right?
I worked on it more than
briefly. Okay, because I know another guy who worked on it for a while, too, and he also said it was
more
the worst.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing was this was billed as the full-on competitor and so on and so forth, and it was going to have the feature list that would rival.
But from fucking
Hero
day
and
one,
Band,
like.
What wasn't expressly advertised, but was totally the truth underneath the matter, was that the multiplayer in the game wasn't actually head-to-head multiplayer. It was you and me as friends on each other's friends lists could share our leaderboards and compete for scores. And I could challenge you and put my score up, and then you would receive my
but
challenge.
But it was asynchronous, effectively.
And it completely asynchronous. There's no online play.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just share, like,
leaderboards.
Trying to beat each other's scores and having a more direct challenge version of that. No Man's Sky reminds me of that.
A little
where
bit.
Where it's like, what you have is the naming of planets as your only, and leaderboards as your only real multiplayer. But in selling the game's majesty, Sean Murray made it sound as if you were going to be able to run into
explicitly too, like.
And you absolutely could not, and it was not programmed into the game.
And I mean, I remember when it came out, like, me and Pat were pretty on the same page about, like, yeah, this stuff's bad, let's at least give him a chance to say something. Mm-hmm. It's been months.
You know, man, people are thinking maybe we can dogfight with each other in space or some shit like
that. Isn't it because of this investigation that the people are theorizing it's why they can't talk about stuff and not say anything?
Yeah, so that's the other part of this is because they're legally now possibly on the hook, the silence.
Man,
could
I hate
be a
being on the hook. Of all the places
them,
I like being,
their,
I hate on
their,
the hook.
Of their attorneys telling them not to say anything mm-hmm. right now.
The curious thing, yeah, is that silence started like Makes the sense. Day after the game came out.
Plague sent me a picture of No Man's Sky's Twitter activity, and then the release day, it goes to zero.
Yeah. Sean posted on release day where he was like, he was so happy, so impressed that people
PC
managed
release,
to find
console
each other,
release, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part two of this story is Jeff Keighley has a new show, Live with YouTube Gaming.
It was good, by the way.
Okay.
Jeff Keighley continues to be the gaming journalism hero that games journalism deserves.
And he talked a little bit about No Man's Sky?
Yeah. There was a little aside during the show, where he got up on the corner of the stage and faced the camera.
Hey, kids.
Not sitting on his couch anymore.
It's me.
And
Jeff
He spoke a little bit about his relationship with Sean Murray and, Hello Games, and about how, you know, he kind of helped launch,
the first
the
trailer
game
for No Man's Sky
was
during
VGX. Yeah, exactly. So he kind of helped, and he did. And how after a while, apparently Sean Murray didn't want Jeff Keighley to be around him anymore because he was being too negative about the game behind closed doors. And how about, eventually, Jeff and Sean weren't as close. However, apparently, Sean Murray has agreed to the idea of being on the show in October and talking about it.
To break the silence.
So I really, really do hope that manages to pan out, because Jeff is probably the best journalist in gaming right now. I know everyone's hot on, you know, Doritos Pope memes and stuff, but like, Jeff is a legit really good journalist who gives a shit about video games, and if anyone can do this story justice, he's one of the people who can.
Well, the curious thing to me is to see if, like, this was actually just like an accidental Molyneuxing, you know, or if we're seeing, like...
Yeah, he compares him to Peter Molyneux
during
that
thing.
Yeah.
Because
explicitly.
It's yeah. so similar.
Yeah.
It's the yeah. same
It's the same city. Guildford. It's the same city.
Jeez.
Maybe he was being tutored by Molyneux.
You know, it just has that feeling to it. And you know, I mean, I'd love to hear from the horse's mouth,
yeah.
so to speak,
yeah.
you know, what the deal is. So
definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's not confirmed yet, of course, but it could happen.
Yeah, no, there's no confirmation on that, just that Sean is open to it. So I really hope he
Suppose
will be able
to. If they
to.
Are not allowed to talk about stuff, that won't pan out until they're allowed to, if that's what the case is, that they're yeah. just not allowed to talk about the game until this investigation, if that's what the issue is. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, no matter how you slice it, it's... not a good situation.
You know what?
Situation.
They're going to announce No Man's Sky back from hell.
Yeah.
Or like No Man's Sky hydrophobia patch.
Well, I think that's actually one of the things that Jeff Keighley talks about during this like 5-minute like interstitial bit on No Man's Sky, where he talks about how, like, if I'm remembering correctly, he thinks it should have released on early access and like gotten people in. And because if this game had launched as it did in early access, I don't think we would have a problem
with what is currently going on. What happened? That seemed like in hindsight, you know,
yeah,
no
hindsight's 2020.
But,
yeah,
you know, that probably would have been a safer bet to get actual feedback on from a large volume of people.
Yeah,
No Man's Sky, the sky is mine.
I was going to say No Man's Sky Championship Edition.
So what we can, what is announced that we can talk about is JoJo live action.
Yeah. This was announced a bit before though, right?
So this is weird.
Cause I was sure.
I brought this up on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was super confused about this because I was like, what JoJo Part 3 movie? And you guys were like, yeah, we talked about it on the podcast. I was like, no, we didn't. Or it must have been on one.
There was something.
Yeah, we looked at actors' faces.
There was something.
I remember that. Yeah.
That came up months ago that said, Stardust Crusaders is becoming a movie.
And here are the actors' faces. And
so now that this news about Part 4 becoming a movie is like going around.
Being directed by Takeshi Miike, no
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone's like, you know, going like, hey, check this stuff out. And I'm like, yeah. But is this happening after the Stardust movie?
What's the deal?
Did you research it?
I'm still not 100% certain, but I mean,
maybe they were like, let's scrap it because Part 4 is gearing up and let's just try to.
But Stardust Crusaders is
the one.
Yeah, I know. That it makes sense to start.
You're right that 4 is the hot button right now, though.
Quite frankly, though, I think it makes the most sense to start with Phantom Blood because it's
the easiest
thing to make into a movie.
It'll be hardest to go back, honestly.
It doesn't have stands, though.
Yeah, no, but it does, like, it's just a vampire movie and you could do it really simply. And learn from any mistakes so that by the time you get to Stardust, you're actually nailing it. And
yeah, but
not
Japanese cinema are they're the kings of making mistakes.
Yeah, I know, and it sucks. So when we
even Takeshi Miike, who's amazing, all Japanese cinematography.
First try right into the big cool stuff, and it might be fucked. They might fuck it up.
Yeah.
They're gonna fuck it. It's gonna be fucked up.
I wish I wasn't always so consistently disappointed by Japanese movies.
I don't know, man. Like the fact that how many live action adaptations
of JoJo
have
porn ones.
Anime
of anime.
There's Kenshin
have been like
good or
resoundingly good,
resoundingly good, and not just okay.
I heard those Kenshin movies were
pretty good. Kenshin was good.
I saw one of the Kenshin movies and it was all right.
I saw Kenshin.
I didn't see the first one, though.
Here's what I can say. Kenshin was good. I can say...
you guys loved Attack on Titan.
20th Century Boys was good.
20th Century Boys is good. Yes. That's a good pick.
Death Note.
Death Note is good.
Is it? Yeah, I never saw that one. Right. Okay.
It's different.
I've never seen that Death
but
Note.
But it's fine.
What about El Saves the World?
What about El Saves the World?
Death Note is different, but it's fine.
Okay.
That's all I got. Everything else in my brain goes to whether you're talking about Cutie
Dragon
Honey,
Ball Evolution.
Whether you're talking about
Dragon Ball Evolution,
pretty
Cutie
good.
Honey.
Okay, Devilman. No, whether you're talking about Tetsujin. Whether you're talking about Gatchaman.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're like, there's so
Wasn't
many.
There a Gantz live action movie.
There was a Gantz live action movie.
I don't know how that is.
There's like so much.
I haven't watched any of these, man.
There's so much.
And you say you like anime.
I don't.
And it's usually terrible because it fits into that like Japanese B movie category where it's just like, these are bad.
Yeah.
The acting is usually terrible.
Yeah.
And the script is not once over for plot holes, but that's deemed acceptable for the screen.
There's Blood,
There was one other one that I saw.
Terrible.
Kashern! Okay, Kashern. Oh, God.
That thing was cool.
Kashern is the most sickest, badass, terrible movie ever.
Yeah.
Because the parts that are terrible like 80% of it. But the 20% of the action is fucking amazing.
Space Battleship Yamato.
Yamato. Oh.
I did not like that movie.
So, dude, like, there's a lot. And we've seen a lot. We probably can't go over all of them, but it's just like, they're usually bad. Right?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
So I'm worried. I'm fucking worried.
Is there no Ninja Scroll animated?
I'm worried. And on the other hand, it's like one of those things where, live action
Thank you.
Here anime we- movies never harm the brand in any significant way in the end, so.
So I don't, yeah. No, you're right.
So it's like,
you're right.
I am worried because I want it to be good. But
if it becomes nothing, then it's just nothing.
Exactly.
So here we go. I know I'm not crazy, and thank you for not being crazy either, Liam. Kento Yamazaki rumored to lead a live action JoJo Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders.
So it was rumored.
Jun Matsumoto was rumored to be playing the lead in 2012. The production on this movie was something that's been actually talked about for the last couple of years now.
So it's not happening.
Dude, that day when the news stories broke about the fourth, about Diamond is Unbreakable, I felt like fucking caveman SpongeBob, where I'm standing there and I'm like, what happened? Like, where's the third movie?
Exactly.
So it's not happening.
No, well, now we have an announcement about Diamond is Unbreakable happening, and it doesn't mention Stardust Crusaders, so... Who knows?
Did everyone just forget? Was that a hallucination?
I think it's like,
this must be the work of an enemy stand.
There's a stand that makes your movie get canceled.
I think possibly that this was, the rumors were based on this perhaps.
And Stardust Crusaders turned into Diamond is Unbreakable.
And it was just unfathomable that you would start JoJo out on this part. and not.
It's kind of nuts.
Not any other part.
To be fair, honestly, I'm sure you can piece together what's going on if this is your first time.
I was going to say,
that's an easy hump.
Honestly, you can start on any part, but why would you?
Your first exposure.
Yeah, just start on any part.
Audience's first exposure to Joseph Joestar.
Characters have to get younger as the movies go on.
Scumbag. Yeah, that's fine.
He's a cheating piece of shit. That's the first Joseph you're going to meet.
You don't get Caesar.
If you want more backstory, just read the manga.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Brazzers version of part four. That'll be good. Those guys are champs.
Imagine they would make a porn parody of, let's say this JoJo movie somehow breaks out of Japan. It's like this huge international success.
Yeah, they would do it.
They make like a porn parody. It'd be so fucking good.
They should do more niche properties.
They really should.
We also watched.
Stop going for Star Wars.
We all watched.
I have
Phoenix
no
Wright.
Mouth and I must suck dick.
We all watched the live action Phoenix Wright, didn't we?
You must.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was by Takashi
Miike. Not an anime, but.
All right.
That fits the mold.
It's an anime now.
Yeah. I think it fits the mold either way. Yeah, yeah. As an anime movie.
But that was here's all right. So here's the thing, right? Takashi Miike, that's a good name to attach to it. Yes. You know it's not a good thing to attach to it?
What?
Summer 2017.
Why?
Because that's fucking right around the corner and it's not enough time to make
No. Yes it is for Japan. Japan is a movie.
They're the king of rush job movies.
Which is why they're so bad.
The CG's gonna be shit because you're in Japan and it only takes about 3 months for them to make it.
It's gonna be fucking, oh god.
Dude, Japanese, Asian cinema CG is just
very
weak.
Fast.
Parasite live action movie.
Sure.
Sucked, by the way.
Did it?
So.
The trailer was cool.
Oh, you saw that at Fantasia?
No, I didn't see it at Fantasia.
Okay.
The trailer looks good.
I got a sharing link for it from a friend, and I shared it off that link on the internet.
Okay. That's a shame.
Not
that it
pirated,
sucks.
Shared.
That's a shame.
It sucks.
Just read the
fucking manga, watch the anime.
Yeah, so that's
throw
it.
Throw the puppy in the garbage.
Nothing about this makes sense to me. And the only thing that would have made sense would have been to start at the beginning and make an easy movie and learn your pacing so that you,
quote unquote easy movie. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Relatively speaking. Yeah.
Make a traditional fucking vampire story, you know, as a film, but you learn the ropes and you warm up to it so that you don't go straight into Deathly Hallows on movie one.
Yeah.
You know, you get through your other shit.
No, that's a little disingenuous because all the Harry Potter books, they blasted, the first one was the big one.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas you're saying JoJo, it's kind of. Yeah, then Stardust Crusaders happened, and that was the big
but,
one.
But what I mean, though, is with Lord of the Rings and with, what's it called? With Harry Potter as well, and with a lot of these, movie series that go on,
yeah.
You get better as you go deeper into it because you learn.
I think Harry Potter, I think they fucking started shitting the bed at the third one, though. I think the first two are the best, and then the quality goes down.
That's crazy. That's the exact opposite I've heard of anyone.
I think the
first two are considered, are the weakest. And when the director of Gravity made the third one, that's considered now it got really
There's
good.
Bits where they deviate from the – I grew up reading the books when I was a kid, and so it's really close to me, and there's bits where they break from the canon that I really don't like.
Sure.
That's all. That's all. It's a personal complaint.
I only follow the films and I only did them halfway.
I think actually the fourth one is the weakest. I think Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, the fourth one's really cool, but it's kind of.
His hair is the dumbest in that one.
Is Azkaban 3?
Third
yes.
one.
Yeah, that's where I stopped. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. Oh, wow. Did you read the books? Or?
No.
They're good. The books are good.
Yeah, I hear.
I heard about this Harry Potter.
Word on the street.
Hot from the presses. Beep, 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 beep.
They fucking tricked me with that new book. It's a trick.
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest trick. See?
I went to lies.
Lies all the time.
it says on the cover that it's a script, it's a screenplay, and I knew it was a screenplay going in, but it's a fucking trick.
How's it a trick?
Great.
Because it's a screenplay that, that JK helped. Oversee and pen and stuff,
so
and it's a sequel.
Selling a full
but
book,
it's not
they're
a,
just selling you the script.
It doesn't read
show.
Like a book. It's it's a script in a book.
But fuck
still,
you bought it.
It's fine. It's solid, I guess, but it's weird.
That was gonna be someone's birthday present.
It is still a good experience.
It's just not a book.
It's just not written the same. It's like if you bought a game and then you got into it. It's like if you got MGS 2. And instead of MGS2, you got
the document of
MGS2.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
You're getting the document of Harry Potter 8.
That's a great way to
So you open it up and it's like interior Hogwarts.
Sort of. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's a trick. And I haven't seen a book in a long time that went to the fucking Bomba bin as fast, where it's like, I'm seeing piles of them at Indigo that have 50% off signs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I don't see that with books. The last book that had that was, J.K. Rowling's previous book.
That stupid adult thing.
Under J.K. Rowling's name?
No.
It was.
I can't remember what it was called, but.
The other book.
The famous one that came out recently that I was so hoping would be actually recently? Harry Potter. 4 years?
Not Fantastic Beasts. Because
there was the follow-up book, and then there was the book where she took a different name.
You don't mean the adult one, right?
I'm checking right now.
You don't mean the adult
The Casual
drama.
Vacancy.
Yeah. Oh, God, this got my favorite line. He then looked upon the grass and saw a used condom glowing in the moonlight like a gossamer worm. Fuck you.
I was so hoping that it would turn out to secretly be a Harry Potter world book.
In exterior, night, Harry Potter smiles down.
Not with Harry. Like, just in the canon.
Smiles down upon Neville's broken, bloody body.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So, here's we got a couple of new announcements from Amazon Studios.
Mm.
The big one.
Everything's relative.
Is Breakaway.
Yep.
Now, yep. Breakaway seems to be a sports
building
ball
hero
crafting.
Hero
competition
multiplayer online
free to play
made for Twitch,
which they own.
You do battle sports in an arena online with multiple players.
Yeah.
But with heroes that can fight.
Okay.
Yes.
Totally new idea.
I look at the character designs and I'm like, those are not bad. I don't mind them.
Yeah, the art quality, everything about the production is like really fantastic.
I love Reinhardt. It was great to see Reinhardt in this game. Did you guys see Reinhardt?
I don't mind the character
designs. I need to look up the list. I keep confusing the three games.
I hate pretty much all of them. They're the most forgettable nothings I've ever seen.
When a game is third person because you can see the character.
I do like that as well.
It zooms out a bit too far for my liking, but I still appreciate that part of it. The actual carrying the ball style gameplay doesn't look particularly exciting.
To be fair, during this presentation, they literally said, instead of making a thing, we just took the best bits of other popular things to make this thing that we hope will be popular.
Now,
if you say that to me, then fine.
It's not too unusual because that's most games, but.
If this was just fighting though, it would be crucified even harder, but. It's the fact that they're going for the ball as the main focus of play is what's trying to be original about it. And it just didn't look as exciting, watching the pace of gameplay. Whereas I felt Pyre.
Did you watch the actual match?
Yes, I did. Which, with all the FGC people in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everyone, we got Alex Valle out of his coffin.
They got all the warriors.
Like, the game's really high quality. It just doesn't inspire me in any way. Like,
and the interesting thing is that, like, I look at it and I was like, maybe, I feel like it's the ball that's maybe slowing it down or making me not enjoy it. But then I'm like, no, because Pyre looks incredible.
I would rather just the ball. I'd rather just, like, here's the thing. It's called Breakaway. That's a sports term to me. The logo has a ball. And then you're playing a fucking sport, but you have Spartacus and Jesse James
and Morgana
Le Fay
and shit.
And other Overwatch ripoffs design wise. They're supposed to be on mythological heroes.
All right. I need to get on this. Please do.
Don't forget the buildables.
Like, there's going to be a lot of things that are very clearly Overwatch ripoffs, but there are also going to be things that are just doing generic modern fantasy style.
Yeah, yeah.
And Blizzard's Overwatch designs are really good, not just because they're cool, but also because they capture the things we're already familiar with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, Reinhardt's Reinhardt, But a big knight guy is a big knight guy, and yeah. always was and always will
and be. Hanzo and Genji are all the cool things we traditionally think about Japanese culture
yes.
and their fantasies and stuff.
That being said,
so embodied into two really good character designs.
That are really, really predictable.
In fact, embodied into one too strong character design that had to be nerfed.
Split into two.
Exactly. Yeah.
That being said,
we made a character design too powerful.
Could you have designed a knight that didn't look exactly like Reinhardt? Did it have
now,
to be Reinhardt?
I was going
to
say, in all fairness, just like, what's it called? Paladins of the Realm. This was
Paladins.
Being made before Overwatch was, like really out there and really big and stuff. And there's a certain point where you have to just be like, well, do we change our design and default on what we had?
The game design, sure, but character design is one of the last things that could actually be changed.
Yes and no. I mean,
you know what
but
I
it's
mean,
also
right?
like
skins.
It's also like we came up with this design. Why do we have to change it? You know, yes, it looks the same, similar. Yes, people are gonna compare them really aggressively. But it's shitty for them because they came up with that design too.
Yeah,
you know?
and I mean, there's something.
Granted, both of them are generic knight designs, and
they are.
And like this game has one of those like you know there's a modern day kind of MOBA sorceress design that you see a lot
oh,
of the time.
Yeah.
Overwatch doesn't have that. There's no sorceress type character, but like it could have just as easily had one of those, right? So I just kind of feel like you know there's
well that's why
well,
I'm
over,
the
Overwatch,
Tournament of Legends thing.
Overwatch like. Generally still falls into the pitfalls of, like, female MOBA designs, where it's like, hey, they're all attractive.
Well, you there's know? That.
Well, not May.
Wow. Channeling your inner Pat, are you?
Sorry.
Okay, well, but I was gonna say, outside of, like, Zarya May and,
Anna?
Anna.
I think
so. I have forgotten her name because I stopped playing Overwatch.
Anna's super hot.
No, I was going to say, they're all really attractive, but outside of them, they all conform to, like, the real standard, like, 20-something attractive woman, which is like, hey, have you seen League of Legends roster? It's been that forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Dota? It's like, you're not allowed to make, like,
have you seen anything
girls who are
that,
outside
like,
of that.
A lot of Korean gamers want to play.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? And if
they
you look
need
back,
to be perfect.
If you look back onto all the older things that were popular in those regions, like Lineage and stuff, it's like, gotta get into those pitfalls, gotta
like,
dig ourselves in.
Like, for Overwatch, though, it's like, there's two characters I actually dislike, and for different reasons. It's like, one is like Mei, because she's just annoying to fight.
That's
you're stopped. I'm not allowed to play because
no,
Mei
no,
throws
right.
me,
no,
right?
No, you're right. Fuck
and then Winston.
Oh, you're talking character designs.
No. And Winston, I don't like his character design, and I don't think he's particularly fun to play as or fight as, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
they're great, all the character
that's for
designs.
Me. That's
yeah,
for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
But every other character I really like. So when I see a game like this, where, yeah, there is no sorceress, but there's a fucking McCree.
Yeah.
There's a Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Well, she's a pirate girl, but she's basically still the sniper that hangs back, and she's a female warrior. I mean, but those are the tropes of, like we said,
Yeah.
No, and the thing is that honestly, like, if you go grab a game like, I don't know, Black Desert, and just take a look at the starting roster of characters, archetypes on that, you see a lot of the same things that we're seeing in Overwatch and Paladins and all these, like, MOBA designs, as you call, you know, as we labeled them. It's like, there's a safe template, and Overwatch, I guess, like...
It has really good designs,
really
but
good
it's
versions
still in the safe template.
Inside the template,
yeah, exactly.
The best
yeah.
versions of what you get within this nice Tupperware container
yeah.
of what is okay to do. And,
definitely.
This game just follows that template, so I don't fault it, you know, for looking so much like Overwatch as much as I do for just being within the same template.
Yeah.
You know? That being said, that's Breakaway, you know, God bless.
Yeah.
It's Amazon Games, so that's Double Helix staff.
Is it confirmed, sorry, that
yes,
Double Helix is?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Filthy Rich is working on this, and all the Killer Instinct guy. That's why they had Killer Instinct players like Gutter Magic
right, okay,
on stage
yeah.
playing it.
That
it was,
totally
Double
makes
Helix
sense.
Was the guy
that
was
actually kind of bums me out a little. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was worth it.
KI was so strong.
Getting bought by, like, Double Helix not going down that, then making a really good, oddly enough, Strider game. Getting bought by Amazon to make a thing that could probably fail super hard.
I mean, right now they're safe, right? They're not going to shut down anytime soon.
They got bought 2 years ago, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
This has been in the works for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Also in the works.
Well, in between them getting bought and this, by the way, mm-hmm. remember Amazon released their Fire TV with their controller, and it was meant to be like a little console thing.
But the games.
And they released like 10 games, and none of them were really stuck out.
But they weren't Amazon games. They were like.
Yeah, they were. Amazon Game Studios has. These are like their 10th, 11th, and 12th games.
Yeah, the other games they have is that WayForward one.
They had that WayForward game for their mobiles.
The Human Head horror game.
Yeah, Lost Within. They had a puzzle game. Yeah,
so there's a couple before.
They had Sub-Zero.
I meant Double Helix.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, but I just mean, like, that's how long it's been. Amazon released, like, a phone and a console and had big game initiatives on those, and those failed. So now they've totally defaulted, and they're just PC.
You know, and so...
Which is fine.
Yeah, speaking of crucifying things, one of the games is called Crucible.
Yes.
And,
I think this one looks...
The art looks
the most
pretty.
Interesting to me.
It seemed kind of neat.
It still, like, seems like it's multiplayer survival game, right?
So. Yeah, you know, we don't really know a ton, except for the fact that it's multiplayer streaming-focused, 12 players attempt to survive.
There's a game master.
And, that kind of controls things.
I do like that it's the last person alive wins. That's kind of neat. Doesn't happen that often.
But you have to, it's co-op as well as competitive.
Yeah, because you can turn on your, you can make alliances, then just turn on someone whenever
you
want.
But
you
need
want.
Other people to
Because you have
survive.
To eventually. Because it can only, like it's like, you know, it's trapped on an island. Mm-hmm. Battle Royale type stuff. So that's kind of neat.
What Tomb Raider should have been.
Big shout outs to all the artists who designed the logos for these games, by the way.
Yeah, because the
they
next
are
game,
so good. Look
the
at
next,
these logos.
The
Matt.
Next game.
Like, Breakaway is great. New World's great. Crucible's probably the best one. These logos are fucking nuts.
Strong. The one for New World is pretty damn sick, and that's going to be an MMO sandbox game.
It's weird. It's like, they're saying there's a supernatural horror element to it, but it's also, it has like, you know, town building and there's creatures in the forest. I'm like,
spooky 17th century colonial America.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful is what that is.
Yeah.
Lots of prime real estate there for the picking.
Like, you know, I know the money's in multiplayer games these days, but like,
kind of bums me out
because I would love for one of these games to have been a single player affair.
Yeah, one. I get it. It's Twitch. People want to be able to interact.
Yeah, and you
got to
go big on your platform. But, and there's a lot of money to be made here. And I do respect that.
But you know,
it's not for me. I don't really.
One big
you know.
Single player Twitch thing would have been cool.
Yeah,
Twitch like you know made for game or whatever.
What do you think of the Amazon Prime rolling into Twitch and stuff like that? I think
that's
pretty cool.
Neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Amazon, if you have Prime, which I do, you automatically get,
Twitch
I think it's
Prime.
Called Twitch Prime.
Twitch Turbo?
So you get ad. No, it's called Prime now.
Okay.
And you get no ads.
And you get a free subscription.
And,
to any
channel
you're
you just
want.
Subscribed to it, just like I'm subbed to Amazon Video and stuff like that. They rolled that in.
Yeah.
And you get like a free game every month.
Yeah, you'll
via
DLC.
Amazon. And you get. They just rolled in the discounts too on pre-orders where you get 20% off all game pre-orders on Amazon. So physical games are now cheaper than digital games in Canada.
There are a couple other, streaming services that got rolled in with that Prime subscription, like CeeLo, and like the comedy streaming service and stuff like that.
I didn't know about those.
Like, yeah, there's some other, like, businesses that basically got bought out. And it's like, yeah, if you're a Prime member, you
up
get
in
this
the value there. Yeah.
It's good shit. Price stays the same.
I think so, yeah. Okay. Amazon Prime's not cheap. It's like $80 a year, but the services I think are really good, so.
Yeah. I'm always like on the edge of clicking on it, but then in the end I kind of think about how often I order from it and it's not enough to make it worth it.
For me it's like I still buy physical, so like I want that day one shipping every time, but especially now that the 20% discount is in, like I went and canceled and reordered everything to get the 20% discount rolled in, and it's like that paid for itself right there, like over a bit. So, but if you're not buying physical, then it might not be worth it. Exactly.
Not unless it's a special collector's edition.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the, I can't, like, this is so weird, but also not weird and predictable at the same time. There's a Portal movie in the works, and it's, then J.J. Abrams is involved. And it's like, of course he is.
It sounds like such a, like, when you put them together, you're like, Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the right combination.
That could use lens flare.
Of course he is. why not, man? You know, I, quite frankly, after trying out that Vive Portal demo.
Yeah.
You could do it.
You can do a Portal story that is not just about the solving of the puzzles and the, you know what I mean? Like, you could do something there.
Well, and even Portal 2, like, there's enough to the world that you can...
What do you do with Chell, though?
You don't.
Okay.
Or you do. But you shouldn't.
I don't think you should try.
Just leave it?
I think there's more chance that you, like, harm Chell or change her too much. Because, like, the cool thing about Chell is she doesn't really have a personality. And giving her a personality, suddenly it's like, oh, maybe that's not what I thought Chell was.
Yeah. When it's a blank slate, you're gonna, you know,
you might get the
upset people.
So do we just go with Wheatley and just ignore humans altogether?
No, I have a new person.
Okay.
Because it's actually a lot like Nidhogg, right? Where, like, that's what I think those characters are, but then all of a sudden it's Homer Simpson screaming.
Yeah.
I don't want to risk Chell being a screaming Homer Simpson.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. So no, J.J. Abrams is he's attached, and this is apparently being who announced it? What studio announced it? Where was it? I missed it. Here's a statement. We're having some really interesting discussions with the writers, many of whom, once you said you're doing a movie about a specific thing that is a known quality, you start to find people that are rabid about these things. If someone, okay, he's just saying, I love Portal, I love Half-Life, and I'm happy to work on it. It's a nothing statement.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of video game movies.
Will this ever come out? Yeah.
This might not ever come out.
It'll be a double feature with Spawn.
God, that'd be sick.
Yeah, finally.
Spawn Portal double feature.
That's like peanut butter and chocolate getting pushed together.
Grindhouse 2.
Spawn and Portal.
That's like Catherine and Persona 5 getting pushed together.
Impossible.
That'll never happen, Wooly. What's our next story?
Oh my god, have you seen these costumes, though?
I have.
They're so pretty!
I don't know why you'd take any other costumes.
Have you taken a look at, like, all the costume DLC?
Yeah, well, I saw these ones and I saw the bathing suits.
Okay, there's a lot. There's a set for every Persona game.
Fuck.
And some other SMT games, like If.
If you don't like our game, just make it another game.
Yeah.
They're goddamn expensive, though. Welcome to Japanese DLC.
Here we go.
But they're nice. They're really nice costumes. The Catherine ones are free, I think, though. But
oh, cool.
Just let me load up my save file, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you should get that.
Just be like, yo, you play Catherine? Here you go.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck off. Catherine was good.
Did you ever look
at
the DLC?
Shut up, suck my dick. It was great.
Catherine had good games. Did you ever look at the fucking DLC prices in Dancing All Night, though?
I did.
Yeah.
And I spent some money on it.
Well, that's what you're getting in 5. But because, you have to buy them in sets is the difference.
Because Songs felt a bit more...
Songs was fine.
Like,
they were expensive. They were like, what, $4 a pop or something?
But I could
stomach Songs.
Stomach a song purchase.
But
especially
then,
since I'd paid a dollar or two for certain rock band songs.
Yeah, you're going to play them a bunch, but the costumes were really expensive.
Yeah.
I bought them all.
Jeez.
I bought all
I didn't buy those fucking glasses, though, in P4. Like
in Arena? Yeah.
No, fuck off. I don't even like them that much.
No, I don't think they're as good looking. Does Yukiko have, like, an alternate without the, like... I feel like she should wear the glasses all the time.
No, she just gets different glasses.
Different glasses.
Like the nose.
Yeah, the goofy nose.
I don't know, actually.
Where she starts laughing because she's such an endearing quality that she has, right?
Old glasses.
Everyone loves her laugh. It's the best.
I know, Yukiko's laugh is great. You're wrong, man.
I don't care what you say, Wooly. Wooly's making all these motions off screen, but he's wrong.
He's fucking jacking off to fucking Brown Chie because he loves cheating on Chie.
You should,
because Wooly can just switch waifu every week.
If you bring a copy of Trauma Team into my house, you should know what's going down. You sit down
it's
here.
It's just a disc. She's not even on the main art, I don't think.
No.
You'd be doing that to the idea of her. It wouldn't matter if the disc is in the room.
Tell me about Hello Neighbor.
Yeah. Leon, have you seen this?
Yeah, I did.
Hello Neighbor is a game that I saw, like, almost a year ago, and I don't even think it had a name.
Oh, really? Cool.
And now it's getting, like, put out soon by Tiny Build, and it's kind of like the scariest Pixar movie ever.
Tiny Build? Yes. Aren't they the guys that made...
Yes. Punch Club.
And
well, they published it.
Published it.
They do a lot of indie publishing. But Speedrunners.
They also did Party Hard.
Last Train, Party Hard.
There's No Time to Explain.
Yeah, that is actually made by them, I think.
Because the character on their logo is the guy's from the head, and I'm like,
I'm pretty sure that one's actually
made. That's the guy from There's No Time to Explain.
They sponsor the GDQ events all the time.
Okay.
And they're at a bunch of conventions now that they're getting a bit bigger.
This is like a stealth game with like kind of these underpinnings of a horror element where you're fighting this weirdo guy that's your neighbor inside a house and you're supposed to gun in there, investigate what he's doing.
You break into his house.
You have to figure out ways to get him out because if he gets you, then it's like game over. You got to start again. And you're fighting against an adaptive AI and there's all these different traps and blockades and things you can do. And you're just supposed to outwit him.
Don't Breathe the movie?
Kind of.
Yeah. And the game's kind of like, it's kind of tense most of the time.
Yeah.
But then when the neighbor fucking catches you or when he's alert, it's scary.
Yeah. When he catches you, you wind up tied up in his basement and then it goes from there.
Wow.
So it's really, really interesting.
That Mr. Rogers style.
Dump you in the fucking hypogean jail.
I think it's supposed to be kind of like British, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But it looks neat. I wouldn't normally be interested, but I watched the trailer and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Got me. Yeah, exactly.
But he goes about his day and starts doing things. And if you kind of alert him that someone's in his house and he'll start searching for you and like, it seems like
building barricades and shit. Yeah. Like instantly.
But like the art style, in case people haven't seen this yet, it's like kind of like a Pixar looking movie.
A little
like,
bit. Yeah. There's only the one character so far.
Yeah.
So.
You can't see what,
but it kind of has that Pixar-y look a little bit.
A neighbor can do anything when you don't believe in God.
it really is a bit like Don't Breathe, actually, like in terms of execution and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I'm really impressed at how much they stuck it, and it really feels like they've got it. At least the trailer gave me that impression.
Because I saw a video of this like over a year ago, and I was like, that looks cool, and I thought this looked even better, this new trailer. So
yeah, I've only seen this one.
Hello, neighbor.
Yeah. It's interesting because I could see like something like Until Dawn 2 being like a setting like that in a way.
I also thought that's what that one scenario from Heavy Rain where you're trying to outwit a killer inside his house.
Oh, that's the DLC.
The taxidermist. Yeah.
I also thought that'd be a cool idea for an entire game or like a concept game because obviously this is a thing that you play in short bursts and.
Yeah.
You play and replay, and it's not like a big, long, single-player thing or whatever. Mm.
The house is randomly generated each time, right? I got that impression, but...
I'm not sure. Maybe. Things change, you get different items, whatever.
Maybe there's a couple houses, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And last but not least, Michel Ancel decides to take his feather to my dick once again.
Tickle it.
And
Dude, it's fucking happening.
What do you want me to do?
You motherfuckers didn't believe, but it's fucking happening.
What do you mean I didn't believe? I was the guy yelling at Pat when there was footage of the damn thing.
Every E3, I'm like, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
No, not the CG thing with Paige.
The leaked footage.
The
leaked footage.
The actual gameplay footage leaked.
Yeah, well, some of it looks pre-rendered, but it's new. It's newer.
There was
like 3 years old now.
That's not like that little short. That was the actual footage that leaked.
It looked like a target render of gameplay.
But that means a game was being played.
Yeah.
And
this
engine exists.
This is fucking baby Paige and her fucking dad.
What is the feather?
Beyond Good and Evil 2.
But what is it?
He Instagrammed a picture.
Okay.
And described an event occurring in, I believe, Sector 4 or whatever, which is where Beyond Good and Evil takes place.
That one, yeah.
And it's a small piglet person.
Little baby pig.
On top of an older, perhaps Asian man's shoulder.
Hard to say. He's wearing shades.
And he seems like he's doing some work or something, right? If I remember right.
Possibly. He's holding on to something.
He kind of looks like Big Boss.
Possibly Jade's Pop-Pop.
Maybe Paige is the Pop-Pop.
Yeah. That piglet,
to Jade in the same way that Jade's dad was
Babe
Pop-Pop
looks
Paige.
Pretty cute in that image.
Personally, I've subscribed to the theory that Nintendo has been saving this to the point where I thought it was going to be a Wii U game, but now that the time has passed, I guess it's going to be an NX game.
That being said,
but for a while I've felt like that was the case, so I hope that's still the case.
A big part of why I want this game is because I do want to see Jade again. So,
well,
I hope
if that pitch is an indication,
there,
you probably won't.
Yeah,
I mean, this could just be concept art, but maybe not.
Because for years, the feather has been Jade. And they had the little cutscenes here and the little leak thing there and the little concept art tease there.
For me, it's been the ending. You finished the game, right? You never finished the game?
I didn't.
There's a cliffhanger.
You sure love Jade.
There's a decade long cliffhanger that has nothing to do with Jade.
Okay.
And that's the thing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But I can't blame you for being excited, even if you haven't finished it.
No, I fucking loved every moment of it up until the where I got
where it. I said fuck it. What was the reason then?
Time, man.
Okay.
What do you want me to tell you?
Okay.
Let's check some emails. If you want to throw me under the bus, you can send
it. I wonder why you're so salty, that's all.
To superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Was that?
Because there's stuff that I like that I just. Like,
Gmail.
Unfortunately, you know, it happens.
Well, they've never released an HD version, so I guess you can only play it on a GameCube.
It's actually crazy how niche Beyond Good and Evil has stayed. Because,
what do you mean?
Well, even if you look at the Steam Spy sales, they're not that good. Like,
oh, it's so sad.
People aren't really buying the game on Steam. People probably didn't really buy the game all that much on 360 and PS3, and it was never really a seller to begin with on its original release. Like, it feels like a game that has much more presence and a bigger fan base than most, but when you actually look at the numbers that are known, it's low. Like, Beyond Good and Evil has somehow managed to stay relatively niche. I would argue more niche than Bayonetta.
By the way, I know that Revolt of Gamers,
yeah,
is out in early access. I'm waiting until the full game is done.
Yeah,
before
you should
do anything
that.
With it or talk about it
you
or
should,
do anything.
You should do
in
that because it's not that great.
So,
really?
Yeah, it's really rough.
Just a PSA that I know. I'm aware.
But I did play it like maybe 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
So it might have changed, but it's been in early access for like almost a year, I think.
Wow, that long.
Maybe.
I hadn't even heard it was in early access, actually. That's cool. For those of you who want early access.
Justin Case says, hello.
That's a good joke. Name.
Unacceptably average people who know each other.
Unacceptably average.
Can't think of a way to slide into this.
Well, lube is always...
You like
best.
Fighting games, you live in Montreal. If you had to make a fighting game where every stage was based in your city, where would you
that's
set
neat.
Them and
that's
why?
A good question.
So the obvious big O
Go.
is the
in or on top?
On top,
on top
of as it's falling apart.
Yeah.
So
as it
reality,
does daily.
Right? The big O being the Olympic Stadium that we have built. It's the most iconic.
Ugliest.
It's the most iconic thing in our city, and it shows up in whenever, like...
It has a very nice design.
It has a
so...
design that people would recognize,
yeah.
So that's
yeah.
what's up. It's
as,
you know.
As in, hey, I recognize that ugly, useless piece of
it's
shit.
It's our CN Tower. What do you want?
Yeah.
You know what
it
I mean?
It does have a cool look to it, despite its expensiveness.
I would set one there.
Sure, yeah.
I would set one in the Lumina Forest, where I just came
really
from.
Because that counts.
Not
it's
really,
not really
no,
Montreal,
not really
though.
Montreal.
But you're not wrong.
But it can't just be, like... a spot that people know. It's
set
gotta
one,
be
in
set
front
one,
of Schwartz's.
Set one in the
so
meat,
I,
fucking...
that, I was about to say, if you do that, it just kind of is like, it doesn't mean anything enough to be like visually.
Put one in the Shadowlands of Laval.
Put one.
If that counts.
Put I'm one sure at Place des Arts during the Jazz Festival.
Well, I was gonna say Jazz Festival okay. and Palais du Congrès is really nice.
Yes. Right on that corner.
Yeah.
You could put
that,
in the
that
old
area
plaza.
Is really
the
gorgeous.
Big plaza.
So.
You could put in the old port in several places in and around the old port. There's some like iconic
on
imagery.
The docks?
Yeah, on the docks.
Okay, I say old not the old port, but Chinatown.
Yeah.
Where you can see the old port from there, specifically the big government building.
Hmm.
Mm.
With
yeah,
the big
yeah.
Like near the Palais du Congrès.
Near
then,
the
yeah.
Palais du Congrès.
On top of the mountain.
Yeah, Mount Royal.
Mount
on
Royal.
Top of Mount Royal.
Right by the...
Mount Royal's got good spots.
Right by the cross?
Yeah, right on the cross.
Yeah. Or near the drums.
Where you can see St. Joseph's Oratory. Yep.
St. Joseph's Oratory is nice too, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, church stage would be good because we've got a billion churches.
Yep.
You could put it in one of the streets that are blocked off.
The
or...
church that has the heart is it in it. Is that St. Joseph's Oratory?
The giant
yeah.
white building?
I don't know which one has the heart, but there's one that has a saint's heart in a jar.
Okay. I don't
that
know.
One's pretty badass.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of it, but I've never gone.
A place you could put it, and pretty much anywhere, is where traffic is blocked off and construction is.
There you go. That's Montreal.
Because that's every street.
That's Montreal.
Under construction stage.
Under construction stage.
And inside of Belle Province.
Yes.
Where poutine is being made.
And it's on the floors, it causes you to trip.
It should be like a more unique casse-croûte that's like more, that takes advantage more of stereotypes.
Okay, fine. La Fleur.
Well, just cause like, Belpro and La Fleur, like, you're right. That's the one if you know, but it kind of looks a little boring. So you gotta have more stereotypes, more aggressive stereotyping.
It's like a punch out version.
Like a fantasy version of it. But yeah.
More asbestos. More asbestos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Right. Okay.
But you're right. That's a good stage otherwise.
We got one coming in from...
In the Metro.
Pat.
Yeah, Metro stage might be neat.
Dear Super McGill Paranoid Metro. Best Friends, what's your favorite conspiracy or one that you believe in personally?
Flat Earth.
Time cubes.
Flat Earth is, I think it's my favorite. That's it.
But what's one I you actually subscribe to? Not as a joke.
Yeah, no. Flat Earth was my favorite. So what is one I actually subscribe to? You first.
I didn't think of it before, and it might be bullshit. I'm like Alan Moore, where I think the snake god, sure, I'll give that a whirl.
Yeah.
But if it turns out to be bullshit, I'm nonplussed.
You've had a snake for like a decade now.
Yeah. That moon landing was staged.
7-Eleven was an inside job.
7-Eleven. A lot of people died that day at the 7-Eleven.
Great Combini disaster.
But wait, are you actually saying that?
What?
What's your actual answer?
I'm still thinking. I don't know.
Okay, I don't have one.
He says, P.S., I think one of you is a lizard person.
That's bad.
Yes, and he's not here right now.
Yeah.
I feel that you must have one at least.
A ridiculous... No, because I subscribe to Occam's Razor so often that it's like stupidity and people and incompetence explains more than masterminding.
Yeah. Sure.
Masterminding is
so unusual.
And it's so impossible for tons of people to lie and convincingly pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are so inept and so incompetent at basic day-to-day things that I
getting
can't,
a real Xanatos gambit going is not
you can't pull one over on yeah, people yeah. Like it's not that you can't, it's hard
to
leave no trace. It's fucking hard.
The government can, Wooly.
So I barely believe in them because I believe people are just fucking incompetent, you know. You could
I'm not responding because I'm still thinking.
No, like, but Nixon could barely get away with a couple of fucking water taps and wire taps in the
Nixon,
you know?
Stealing all my water.
Wire taps in a single hotel, right? Like, I feel like it's not that they can't do things.
Yeah.
It's just more like hiding it.
And like,
fucking.
Yeah. And like, people get away with shit all the time, but you just never hear about it.
Yeah.
So there's the middle ground too,
yeah,
of people who do succeed.
And that's not
it,
a conspiracy theory.
No, exactly.
It just someone got away with
it. It was never
something.
Supposed to be heard and seen and
but they could be conspiracy.
So like I know Alex Jones is a first flag report. But and the fucking there's all that shit going on. And there's the Jesse the Body Ventura and his mind control.
I have
that's my favorite.
I have
the
really
weather age. System.
That's
controls
my
the weather up there in Alaska.
One.
I would know I was a governor, a Navy SEAL, a fighter.
I have a really hard time thinking of any of those that I subscribe to, but I love Flat Earth.
I admire its purity as well.
Yeah. There's just something about believing in something that's like, like a fucking millennium old thought. That has been disproven. There's just something about believing in that OG theory.
Because if someone comes up
to got history.
And says, you know what, the Earth is pretty flat, and I put my hands on either of their shoulders and go, you are amazing.
I love you. You're
I love
shit.
You.
Yeah. Just kiss him on the
I
forehead.
Hope you're right. Because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And for fake moon landing stuff, it's like, again, I'm like, I don't. The biggest one to me is after I watch like a documentary, and you know, you watch documentaries, it doesn't really mean anything, but like, it's just like someone just going, no other country has gone to the moon because you can't. You burn up. And they're talking to former NASA astronauts and they're like, you'll die. Why do we only send robots? Because they can't die.
Here, I guess my answer.
The boss almost died. She did. Not due to radiation, though.
Gunpei was held back. They had to hold him back.
They had to take him out.
He was about to use spiral energy to go to the fucking space.
Oh no, he might make another Wonder Swan.
The Wonder Swan was really good.
Gotta stop him.
Don't let him do it.
The Wonder Swan's actually like the most fucking tragic thing. Because
it is
like, it's way better than any of the Game Boys at the time. And obviously the GBA kept in and swept up, but that was because Gunpei was gone.
That shit clicks like a motherfucker.
The Wonder Swan, so that's the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
You're right.
The Wonder Swan was never released in any other region, and it's fucking amazing.
And lastly, we're going to take one from Jair, and he wants to know, hey, Frontcast of the Best Super, Jair here. What games used their best track too early, leaving the final boss track unsatisfying? Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, huh. I remember you talking about this.
Venice Rooftops
is the best song,
song in the game, and the first and only times you hear it are doing the rooftop race missions, which are optional and completely nothing.
Unnecessary.
And then when you fight the Borgia Pope in the fucking, in Rome, in the church, you hear no music, you hear nothing, and you just hear ominous sound effects.
Yeah.
And then he dies to nothing.
To be fair though, that's like, you know, Assassin's Creed final boss fights, who really cares?
That was
universally terrible.
That was Jesper Kidd who did the soundtrack,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So Darksiders 2, also composed by Jesper Kidd. When I was working on it, I remember the game being completely silent for the longest time, and then all the soundtrack came in at once. And there was a moment where I fought the first major boss in the game, and an incredible song plays, and I went, this is a really special game. And then when you get to the last boss, the music is nowhere near as it's very good. Jesper Kidd is incredible. But it is not nearly as punctuated as that one song at the first major boss of the game. Anyone who's played that first major boss probably has a good idea of what
that is. It's a shame that Undertale spills Megalovania while you're entering your name. Yeah. What a waste.
Yeah. I think most of the Castlevania games, their best song is not the last boss song, but that's never a problem.
Not really, but I mean, the Castlevania games are front-loaded with good music at the start.
Unless the clock tower somehow magically got placed at the end boss fight. Fuck no is the best song.
No, exactly. Not, you know, like, Bloody Tears doesn't play during Dracula. Crystal Castle in Castlevania 2 doesn't play at the end. Like, there's so many best songs in those games that aren't the Dracula fight, so.
Sure. But usually Dracula fight is not that fun anyway. It's usually
I mean, Wily stage
is the journey, right?
It's the journy that counts.
Wily stage is like the final area, so I guess I'll let that rock.
Streets of Rage does it, has the best song. No, the first one has the best song as the last boss battle. Cause the first, seven bosses, it's the boss theme. And then the last boss, Mr. X, it's a new version of the boss theme. They did it perfect, where it's just an improved version of that song. And when you start hearing it, you immediately know it's the boss theme. I've been trained to hear this song, but then it's different.
I got one that doesn't come up often. In Beautiful Joe, when you're fighting the last boss of that, where you're fucking, you're
where
in
you're
Six Majin.
Piloting Six Majin, yeah.
And it's playing the Beautiful Joe theme, but it's the orchestrated version of it. And it's fucking cool.
It's been a minute, but yeah.
But no, I'd say Assassin's Creed is probably the worst of the worst offender I can think of. Especially considering how good fucking Venice Rooftops is. Oh my god. Which is why when Soul Calibur came around.
Yeah, and you freaked
out. And Ezio shows up and it starts playing it, it's like,
it's his song.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, not of course. I'd say that would be too smart of a pick.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. And it actually surprises me. You saw me. I was super happy and freaking out that they picked that one, but it was like, but it's like,
what else would you pick?
What else would you pick? What song comes close to that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You pick, fucking, what's that song by Uncle?
Uncle Cracker?
Yeah, 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 I know the one.
Yeah, that song. The Assassin's Creed song.
Yeah.
Wonderful 101's another game that does it good. Mm-hmm. The best song at the end, I think. I know some people like Tables Turn better, but.
Time only knows. Time only knows. All right. What's coming up? What's coming out?
I don't know. I forget what's coming out recently. I'm sure there's a bunch of shit.
Mafia 3 is coming out, and I am looking forward to purchasing that and playing it if the reviews are good.
Stall for more time.
I will spend this week downloading a bunch of patches for PSVR supported games for next week. lots of patches. Oh, forgot to mention it. Did you check out Lost Odyssey on Xbox One?
I did see that it dropped.
I started playing it again. It runs slightly better, and it's still incredible.
How's the loading?
A little bit better.
I'd imagine.
It's a little bit better. It's a little bit better. But you don't need to switch disc ever.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
It just downloads the full 23 gigs and you need the disc one.
Okay. We talked about
go play that game.
Week.
If you haven't played Lost Odyssey, it's $15 at GameStop or EB Games or whatever the fuck.
Even
if you're listening and you need an Xbox RPG, it's so good.
Even if it's not like delivering, at least get to the first couple stories of the Thousand Years of Memories. And see if that'll hook you in.
Yeah.
Because those only get better and better as you go.
And while you're doing it, remember, like, look at the talent list and who made it, and just remember. In your head that you're basically playing Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
Or what should be Final Fantasy 13.
Based on the staff.
And the game kind of feels even better.
I love the characters in that game.
Yeah, they're great. Dude, they're great.
And you got my boy. On the ones and twos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got fucking Takahiko Inoue, artist of Vagabond.
Who did all the designs,
the characters. So,
it's just such, I forgot he was the guy. And when I saw the name come up, I was like, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Cause you don't see the art going in. You only see it on the main menu, the pause menu or whatever, where you see the characters' little portraits.
Yes, yes.
But you don't see it anywhere else in the game, I think, if I remember correctly. So I had forgotten. Even the box doesn't have the art. It has renders.
Yeah. We talked about it last week, but Aragami, the Tenchu-like stealth game, comes out on PS4 and I think PC.
PS4, PC,
on Tuesday. So I've been meaning to check that out. I want that to be really good. I'm afraid it's going to be like stiff or clunky.
Like Sticks.
Yeah, like Sticks.
Are you looking forward to Sticks too?
No.
That was too harsh.
I'm sorry.
That was real.
What if the developers are listening? That was way too harsh.
Well, I didn't say no, fuck you.
No, but that was way too harsh, Matt. Uncalled for.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Aragami, I really hope that's good. And I'll continue playing River City Ransom, Tokyo Rumble, and try more Sonic Boom. It'd be cool if like that actually turned out to be really, really good and not just like, whatever.
I still want to finish Dead Rising.
Yeah, I need to, next time when you guys are over, I need to show you Dead Rising 2 to make sure if I'm crazy.
Yeah, I remember I did want to check that out next time I come over. I've been thinking about it.
I don't want to play it until I can figure out if this is a me thing or it's the game or whatever, so.
By the way, I watched a trailer for Dead Rising 4 and like, I have no excitement to play that game.
Well,
that looks like totally different. That doesn't look like Frank. That doesn't sound like Frank.
Well, it is a different voice actor.
No, I know, but it doesn't look like Frank. It doesn't sound like Frank.
He's grizzled.
The time mechanics are gone. The game is like way more on the nose goofy, but at the same time, way more like, realistically colored and stuff it's like dark and gritty. And Dead Rising 3 interests me a lot more, actually.
It shouldn't.
Oh, no.
It's way grittier. I played a couple hours of it. I wouldn't begrudge anyone to not play that because that is.
I just want it for the Super Turbo.
Oh, you don't need, that's standalone.
Oh, cool. Lucky me.
Dead Rising 4, while what you're saying is not incorrect, it's more colorful and more Dead Rising-y than Dead Rising 3 is.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Cause when I look at Dead Rising 4, it's like way too on the nose with like fireworks, guns, and ice swords and stuff
more
like that.
Serious. Huh. And in a, like, don't have fun way.
Cause I like the thing that I really like about the first Dead Rising, I've never played any of the others, is like 99% of the weapons and items are really innocuous. They're just, you're just holding a weight or a rake or a sickle or whatever. And that, like, now in Dead Rising 4, it's like the weapons are really trying to be goofy. Like, again, like an ice sword or a fireworks gun.
They're about as goofy as they are in Dead Rising 2.
I think, 2 is where the crafting started and they had like the paddle chainsaws.
Dead Rising 3 is all about vehicles and making them.
Yeah. When I saw the vehicles in 4, I was like, what is this?
And that's the most open world one of them all, where you're in an entire city. Whereas at least Dead Rising 4 seems to be the mall and like
the area
a good amount around it.
Yeah.
But try whatever, really, but like,
yeah.
3 was not super great.
Let me finish 1 and 2 first.
I'm looking forward
to thousands of Dead Rising games.
To, the next step / info reveal in the Overwatch Sombra ARG.
Yeah. When's that scheduled for?
AKA the big nothing.
Yeah.
Because we're getting fucking nothing, and if you think we're getting anything that's not nothing.
Why you say this?
You're stupid. Because this ARG has been going on for a long ass time.
For months. And ever since launch almost.
And every time a loading screen or a website or a decrypted server is uncovered, it reveals another loading screen or another website or another decrypting server.
Yeah, but the moment you don't care, that's when they'll reveal.
That's when they've won.
Everyone's theory. No, that's not true. Mothman's theory is that
wow, the call out.
The reveal is going to be on the Day of the Dead, which is up close to Halloween.
Right.
And that's the same day that, Blizzard is having some sort of, something.
They better have fucking Day of the Dead or Halloween costumes.
They're having an event in, Spain or Mexico or something.
Which is like weird, cause like BlizzCon is November 4th.
So yeah, so, this whole thing could be, like, close to that or around that, and it would be perfect to match it, because Sombra's theme is probably that she's, like, from there as well, and so on. So, prepare yourselves for nothing.
You ever get that? Where you're looking at a doujin, and the only language is Spanish, and you can't get that out of your head the whole time? It's awful.
You ever get that?
It's hard to overcome.
I guess so.
When you're watching Santo Boguito, and you're wondering why you're watching Santo Boguito?
Yes, every week.
Okay, just checking. I thought it was just me.
No, I gotta get my weekly dose.
What hell did I get trapped in where I could only watch Santo Boguito?
What's coming on the channel?
Matt, did you not watch Santo Boguito?
No.
Let's do a let's watch of Santo Boguito.
You know Santo Boguito.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going on right
now. Oh, okay. So that's one, you just somehow missed out on this,
it's
I guess.
Okay.
It might be beyond your time. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Maybe it'll jog your memory, but like.
There it is.
I love how it's in Wooly's quick search.
You know, no, that's Google.
Yeah.
That's Google. These guys?
Okay, yeah, no, I know that fly.
Do you remember this fly and this fat
Yes, thing? I do know this.
Yeah,
the name is not great.
You want to have a weekend, Wooly, and we'll just swap?
Oh, it's
we'll just swap it back. Do you want to have a weekend, Wooly, where we'll just swap between, like, Santo Boguito and Quads and Nutshack episodes?
What about
and just watch
real
those
monsters.
Three in a row?
Only if we can wash our palette or cleanse our palettes with Nanolan.
Yeah.
And Our Real Monsters is out there, too.
Nanolan's like the fucking champagne compared.
We'll close it off with some Bump in the Night.
Yeah. Some Bump in the Night.
Mr. Bumpy, you know? And,
And then have a nightcap of Angela Anaconda.
No, that's too new and stupid. Stunt Dogs.
It's not.
Stunt Dogs.
It's not.
I've never actually watched
Angela
Stunt Dogs.
Anaconda. That's old.
Angela Anaconda was on when I was a kid.
If it was Teletoon,
it's pretty old.
That's too new. I'm going YTV.
Because Angela Anaconda is actually pretty old. It was on when I was a kid, so it was like
that's right.
15 years old.
I only caught it when it came on Teletoon, which is like the second generation of childhood.
Yeah.
My second childhood.
There was only two generations.
My second childhood was Teletoon.
Your second,
pre and post Angela.
You know? Yeah. Ronin Warriors was the barrier between my first and second childhood.
That was what changed you back into a kid?
Yes. I went from a boy to a man back into a boy.
For a little bit, there were two ages of children.
Yeah.
The first age and then the second, and that was it, basically, pretty much.
Boys stand. No, boys run. Men stand. And then men run again.
Yeah, I guess. What's coming up on the channel, though?
I think we're pretty on our schedule now with Shitstorm and...
Tornado.
Castlevania and Omicron and Mega Man.
But we do have... two videos set up this week. They're kind of going to be like third bonus videos. One is we took a look at, Mr. Van Helsing. You know the one.
Yes.
That all the kids are familiar with. And, me and Pat took a look at Party Hard, in which Pat fucked up all the game audio, but that's okay.
Good.
That's fine.
Never let him live it down.
It's a totally listenable episode, but we had a good time playing
it. It's upsetting because our audio is usually so fucking good.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, guys.
Yes.
We're paying rent under this bus, and it's late for the month.
Yeah.
It's the third, so we need to get on that. So if you guys can chip in, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll e-transfer you the payment.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. It's a nice little cozy spot. I mean,
under the bus,
for sure.
We've all found our little corner, you know.
But if I had mentioned that video and Pat was here, he'd be like, "Yeah, there was a fuck up with our audio. I fucked it up." He's honest in that way.
Yeah.
So he threw himself under there.
So we have Friday nights and Saturday mornings getting a little bit scarier as well over the course of this month. So
a little more jankier too.
Yes,
if that were possible.
If jank scares you, you're in luck.
It doesn't.
It should. Jank scares me more than actual scary things. Liam knows this because think of the thing that I told you about
that
is jank related. That I fucking hate
when you flip into a spider's legs. Like,
I hate that too, but that's not the one I was thinking of. But yeah, that shit's bad, and like fucking descent and crap like that. But anyway, it's fine. Jank can be scary. That's all we got coming up.
I guess so. I didn't know where you were going. I thought you were going to say something.
No, it's just no. I got no.
Oh, awkward fumblings. They're the best. The hallmark of this podcast.
All right, I gotta go watch the rest of Luke Cage.
Lucha Underground.
Black, black, and a black, and a black.